I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Tips. I'm your host, Rod, joined as always by my co-host,
Karen.
And today we actually have some very special guests in the house. We have the co-host from Tea with Queen and Jay. What's going on, y'all?
Hey.
Hey.
Thanks for having us. What's up, y'all?
I'm just glad y'all can make it. I mean, that's a good thing about the Rona. Everybody's schedules is all lined up.
I'm still at work.
I still find a reason to be late.
Right. That's true.
Just looking for a sense of normalcy in this world, you know?
How have y'all been doing in the Rona? You know, I know New York is the epicenter, and especially the black parts of New York and stuff. So like, how have y'all been maintaining?
It's very scary. I've just been honestly just staying at home for the most part. And then it gets weird when I see people online outside, or when I do venture out to, my grandma needs like around the clock care. So every now and then I'll venture out to see her, but that's after not seeing anyone else for weeks. So it's, discouraging to see people outside, like on the block, gathering close together and hanging out. It just feels like it's a lot of misinformation. And this is all the president's fault. So I don't, you know, I don't even really know what to say. It's scary and it's bizarre, you know.
I feel like when I go out, I've turned into a Southern Belle. You know, I'm just like, oh my stars and garden, they're so close together. Are y'all just gonna sit there and breathe each other out? Why? I never. What about you, Queen? How's it been?
I'm kind of liking being in the house. I kind of like not having to like do stuff. I like that everything is still. I like that everything is kind of just like chill. It's kind of like my speed, but it is scary because like I've experienced two family members who have passed like already. A friend of mine, her brother just passed the other day and he's like 27 years old, you know, like just like, so I feel like those fucking gangsters who be like, yo, every day, like, right. And that wasn't supposed to be the life that I chose.
Right, like I made good decisions in my life.
Yeah, like shit, like damn, you know. So it's that's the part that kind of like is the sore spot for me. I'm not really as like scared of being infected or things like that. Like I trust the way that I am operating for myself. But it's just scary because I know that a lot of people that I know and love are affected by this and are going to be affected. So in that way, it's scary. Yeah.
People who we know who we knew our whole lives to make bad choices, they're making them same bad choices now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like it's some people who I was really upset were not obeying the social distancing, like, you know, orders or whatever. But like these are the same people who have like 7 kids and like, you know what I'm saying? Like, by accident. So, not to
they have 7
that,
kids by accident.
You know how they be doing. You know how it happens. I'm just saying, people who make bad choices in life are making bad choices during Rona. Okay? So, it's sad to be people that you love, but, you know.
They're consistent.
It's wild too because this thing has hit us in the one place in our society where I feel like is our hugest weakness is empathy. Because it's not, like, if you look at the solutions and the stuff that they're telling us to safeguard against, the safeguards aren't like, here's how you keep from getting it for the most part. It's kind of like, here's how you keep from getting it, giving it to everyone else. If, I forget what doctor said it, but it was like, if 80% of people just wore masks, it would eradicate it. So it's hitting people right in that thing, that muscle that everyone's been, you know, let get weak of like, just giving a fuck about somebody that's not yourself.
Yes, and it was hilarious listening to y'all talk about how a lot of people think social distancing means no new friends. Those are not the same things. I don't care how much I know you. I don't know what you've been doing outside my presence.
Yep.
So that means if you don't live in this house, you know, because, you know, like you say, you went to your family member's house, you was like, are y'all social distancing? Yeah, we got to tell you, like, nigga, this is 3 feet. Like, come on, like, I've measured this out.
What are you doing? Like, I called one of my relatives, and she was sitting on the opposite FaceTime. She was sitting on the opposite side of the table with a homegirl. Homegirl had her face mask hanging off her face. They're like, we're doing it. She's over there. I'm over here. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not how this works. It's not how it works. So yeah. That's the other thing. It's like, if we don't check in with our family members, I know everybody here, we're constantly on social media. We're keeping up to date with news and stuff like that. Everybody's not doing that. Some people getting their only information, their only news from church or from, you know, whoever they're most in contact with. And sometimes that's the president, unfortunately, even though we don't, as black people, we don't fuck with him. Sometimes that's the only news that people are getting. You know, mm-hmm. So we have to make sure that we are like the source for those who like we are in close contact.
Yeah. A lot of people are also, I was having a conversation with my homegirl yesterday. A lot of people are getting, a lot of black people are getting information from like social media, but like the HOTEP weird space of it. So they're getting hugely misinformed about what's real, what's fake, what is actual, when the basic thing is put on a mask, stay your ass in the house. Like, that's just basic things, but
now I feel like I'm watching even like the content that people put out, like creatively, I'm watching the content with social distancing rules in my head. So like, you know, I love this one crew of dudes, Supreme Dreams. They do like nerdy anime, but black people comedy and shit. But now I'll be watching their videos like, that's not 6 feet, nigga. Like,
I gotta remember.
King Vader's been doing videos, and I'm like, is this new?
Right. Yeah. I'm CSI now. I'm looking in the background for clues. Yeah. Like, is that a calendar? Yeah. What day is that calendar?
Yes.
Yeah.
And what was hilarious for me is that I was watching Insecure like a couple of weeks ago. They had like that big block party. Yeah. And then my whole mind, I was like, ain't we in the age of the Rona? They allowed that many people. I was like, oh, man, this was filmed months ago. Like, right, I had to remind myself that this wasn't like a current event. Like, do I need to call the cops and break that party up? What the hell is happening out there?
Everything now is like seen through that lens. If I'm listening to a podcast and they're in the room, I'm like, can I trust these people? Right. Should I even be listening?
Versus battles. Like when somebody need like tech support in the versus battle, I'll be like, how many people in there? Hold up.
I see too many bodies moving around.
It's not supposed to be that many people in your house, Erica.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm gonna be around for your next album, boo-boo. I want you to be around.
The other thing is that these like thought leaders, again, there are people who only get the information when they tap into a versus, when they tap into whatever the fuck. So it's like, it's just so irresponsible for celebrities and highly like front facing people to not be social distancing.
Yeah, to be so irresponsible with the influence they have.
Right.
Like, now's not the time to be like, raise your own kids. Like, now.
I am not a role model. Yeah, that's not what this is.
Somebody, they just gonna be on Instagram live with hundreds of people in their mansion. Like, I'm not a role model. Tell your kids to raise yourself, okay?
Stop looking to
Chris Brown for answers and shit. You're like,
not the time.
No, now is not the time. And I'm actually at a lot better space than I initially was. Cause like my mom, she's like 80 years old, so I haven't seen her in weeks. And she, you know, she says that, you know, some of the family come and see her. And I told her, I was like, Mom, I love you. I said, but I don't know when I will ever see you again. And I meant that. For Mother's Day, she got a big old thing of flowers. It was beautiful. For 1-800-Flowers, the person handed it to her and all that stuff. I was like, I'm not coming by there. I love you. Happy Mother's Day.
It's scary, and it's hard not to judge other people after, like, for those of us who are doing intense social distancing. Like, I'm in here, it's just me and my dog. I'll go to the supermarket, I'll take her for the occasional walk, and I go and see my grandma because I have to. But like, it's hard to watch people posting their Mother's Day videos, or like, even if it's just, I have some relatives, it's five of them in their family, but they don't all live in the same house. So they came together for Mother's Day. Okay, that's fine. I guess I'm supposed to assume that none of y'all are carriers or haven't been anywhere else. I don't know. It's just really, it's scary.
Yeah,
it's
I think the more you read too, the more cautious you get, and then like,
yeah,
like I my hope is that we're in an overly cautious demographic because we're so in tune with all the shit that's happening. Yeah. You know, I hope that that's what it is. I've read, like, I was reading something today that said, you know that R number thing where, okay, so the R thing is like how many people you infect. So like per infection, how many you want to get it below one. Because that means it's going down. But of course right now it's over one. And yeah, one of the things they were saying is that it's, oh, I know what it was. It was a Twitter thread from some scientist, and he was saying like the number's a little misleading because what people think is like, oh, we have an R of three, that means each person is infecting three people. It's like, that's not really what happens. The average person doesn't infect anyone. What happens is the people who do infect people infect everybody. So it's like, I'm going to the club, and then it's everybody at the club catches it, as opposed, like, they're not having as many cases of people doing, like, you know, going home and giving it to, you know, four or five people or whatever. So even still though, you know, that's not, that doesn't mean don't social distance. It doesn't mean don't wear a mask or any of that stuff. I, you know, I just hope that we're just so aware that we're, that we're being overly cautious rather than
I hope so. I would love to be the ridiculous one in this. I really would.
Yeah, because you'd be ridiculous in the life, you know.
right
You know, but I've seen some people in the chat and they're like, they're trying not to judge. I don't care about judging, because this is killing people. This is like, people's health is at risk. Like, judge the fuck away.
I felt like I was getting into the ridiculous lunatic area, because I'm like, okay, I'm doing my best, and Roger had to calm me down, because every time I seen something with somebody 2 feet from somebody, I would fucking go off, because I was like, the fuck is this? I'm giving up everything, and motherfucker, you out here doing a goddamn what you want to. Like, I would just get livid, because I'm like, I'm literally shutting down, I'm staying in, I'm being a good citizen, I'm doing everything the fucking scientists are telling me to do, and I look up and your motherfucking ass is outside goddamn playing. Take your ass back inside. And it was funny, as I was like, I just wanted to go and just lock shit up myself. Try to go in there now, bitch, just lock.
Well, she wouldn't even go sit on the balcony of our apartment, and our apartment has literally no neighbors.
The, like, Rona was out there.
We're on the corner in the back, like, I was
like, airborne. It's not like,
right, yeah,
it's not airborne, but people do say that. I've heard people on their podcast talk about, isn't it airborne? Isn't it? Yeah. It's not.
What's happening is that, I think one of the major things that hurt is, like you said, we have the Trump administration. And so, because of the misinformation that comes out and the fact that you can't trust shit they say, you got people taking leaps and nobody can really check it, because it's like, well, we know the motherfuckers are supposed to be telling us the right thing or lying. So, you know, they're like, that's why you could get it if, you go up to an air conditioner, you could get it. It's like, maybe you can, cause you can't trust fucking Trump. Trump's like, nobody can get it. It'll be gone tomorrow. So, you got people really freaking the fuck out right now. And I really wish, I really wish he hadn't have been president.
Same. The other thing I was thinking about is that report that came out about new infections in New York and how most of those people were saying that they had been social distancing. And it just made me think about how, like, that's probably not the case, since so many people don't know exactly what it means to be social distancing. Right, you know what I'm saying? And of course, a doctor's asking you something, you want to say, yeah, I've been doing all the right
things. We all lie to our doctors though. Right. You do not tell them that we take drugs and don't use condoms.
Come on. Like, so how often do you drink?
Like,
how often do you drink a week? How much is a lot? less than that, less than a lot. But yeah, it's crazy out here.
You're really right. We be lying.
The podcast sounds great though. You guys, I know y'all aren't in the same location or whatever, but you really can't tell. Does this make y'all? Does this make it where when you know, when everybody's allowed to go outside again, does this make it a thing where you guys will be like, well, we can probably record remotely, or y'all like, nah, I still miss the face to face seeing the person?
Honestly,
the face to face.
I need to be able to see, so I like that we're doing it on Zoom now. Personally, I like hanging out with my homegirl, but I could do the Zoom shit and that be the podcast. Like, I like, now that we can see each other. When we were doing it, like just audio, that was really hard for me because we're feeding off each other. We talk about serious topics, but we're laughing and shit. And it's really hard for me not to be able to see somebody and laugh about, find the humor in police brutality. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing funny about it, but if I can see my homegirl and we find like the joke about something ridiculous that a white person did, or just something that is a internal like joke between me and my homegirl, like then that makes it better. So I think now that we can see on Zoom, it's cool. But because if we were recording in a studio or some shit like that, then it'd be like great. But we do so much of the heavy lifting ourselves. We live in these New York apartments. We live in, you know, I'm in Manhattan, she's in Brooklyn. So I think now that we know how to do it on Zoom, it might be more effective to do it this way. But yeah, but we'll probably still record occasionally together still. But for me, it's like, I didn't want to lose anything. So now that I think we were just hearing each other and talking, I think there was definitely a lot of communication loss. I think we underestimate how much communication is in being able to see each other, even though we're translating that stuff to an audience, right? So on our podcast, we don't do visuals, so they can't see us. They don't know that what they're hearing is based on us seeing each other, and like the sounds that we're making and shit like that all have to do with the way that we are like non-verbally communicating with one another. So I think now that we were able to kind of like recapture that and maintain the sound quality, because I'm kind of a sound Nazi. So like I keep saying, why are we saying Nazi?
I
think we were saying czar instead of Nazi.
That's what we said, czar.
Okay,
right.
I prefer sound KKK person, but you go ahead.
My ears are like super sensitive to the point of like discomfort. So when I edit, I have that in mind, which is, it's irritating, but I'm thinking of all those things. So if we could get it to where the experience for the listener is just as good as if we were hanging out in person, like that's the goal of it.
What about you, Naeem?
I don't care. I feel like as long as the listeners don't complain, like they still think we sound like we're in the same place, even we were just doing audio. So like for me, that was fine. And I'm not as noise sensitive or whatever as Jay is. I think that a lot of that stuff people should understand. Like, we are independent podcasters. Right. If you want something to sound like you were in an enclosed case, that's, you know, like, right. It's something you kind of have to take what you could get. We can only do what we're capable of doing, so I generally don't care too much about that. I do like the, it makes it highly accessible, though, that we now have figured out a remote way to do this. Because a lot of times, Jay has a life, I have a life, we have families, we have, you know, whatever. So it does make the accessibility of this process way easier for both of us. And that's the part that I like.
Yeah.
Well, I like this.
That's what I was thinking about, because sometimes I remember y'all would say, like, we're recording at like 3 a.m. or whatever. I'm like, man, like that schedule and that commitment.
It was definitely a grind, and it was fine. I think because we're friends, it was fine. It doesn't feel really like as much of a challenge as it is until you're not doing it for a while. Then it's like, whoa. So we were, like doing sleepovers and, you know, planning and then taking a nap and then getting up and recording and then taking a nap and then going to work and then coming back and editing, because we wanted to like provide this kind of like quality content. And I've listened to podcasts who were doing it remotely before, Rona, but for me, it's like that extra layer of communication, nonverbal communication that you then translate on the podcast was so important. So yeah, I don't know, but yeah, it is a grind, especially when you're doing it by yourself, you know?
There's definitely an energy in a room too. When people are in the room, you can feel the energy difference. But y'all
Even interviews, we don't do a lot of interviews, but my preference is always to be there with the person, because I don't know them. I want to like catch the vibe and I want to see their body language and all that stuff. So that's always been a challenge for me. It's like, okay, do I even want to bother talking to somebody if I can't see them, if I can't, you know? But yeah, it's been interesting. All of us kind of having to learn how to do things in new ways to, you know, achieve whatever experience it is that we get out of podcasting and give through podcasting.
And y'all might even be able to go live at some point. Karen, what were we gonna say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, and that's true. And you know, I think you have to use a different muscle in your mind to do an interview and to interact and talk with somebody that's not there. Mm-hmm. It requires something like a switch, like a separate switch. And I think for me, I'm not gonna lie, I love to talk. I could talk to a fly on the wall. So for me, I'm like, oh, you wanna talk? Let's talk. Let's record. Let's go. So it's like, yes, there is a difference between the person being there, but I also know that me personally, I can have the same flow with even if the person is absent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all about your creative vibe, man. Correct. Whatever makes it work for you, but
like, yeah, exactly. You
know,
yeah.
Technology is really doing stuff for people though. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask, are people talking in the chat? Cause I see the chat bar, but I don't see any movies.
Yeah, they are talking. Let's see. The last thing Jane M said something. I pretty much decided. You see that? If not, refresh.
No.
Okay. Refresh real quick. The chat update. Yeah. You'll come back on screen. Just give it 1 second.
Okay, so I just refresh the whole thing?
Yeah, just mm-hmm. refresh. You'll be back on in a minute. Yeah. We talked to Crowdcast. They interviewed us for something and they mm-hmm. were saying that they updated their chat and put it on a different server than the regular like video feed. So right. apparently that makes it freeze sometimes. If it does,
yeah, they're working
refresh.
On
refresh.
Oh, okay.
It should fix itself.
Got it. Okay, I see it. All right, okay, cool.
All right, but yeah, the podcast sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So I can't really tell the difference because it just sounds so dope. And
thanks.
You know, yeah, I'm glad you guys are doing okay during the Rona, as okay as we can. You know,
yeah.
And when y'all talk about the hard work, that's something that people underestimate. I tell people just because the podcast is free to you doesn't mean the podcast is free for the person that produces it. Like it's
facts.
A lot of time and money and effort and resources, and it's hilarious how everybody wants every podcast to sound like NPR, but you like, do you know how much money did they invest in that? And I'm like at mm-hmm. home rubbing two microphones together and we expect the same quality. Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah, that's why I remind them, you ain't gonna get that here. You want that go over there?
Right. The level of production, the level of staff that these podcasts right. have yeah. is like, okay, you just have one person working on this one thing over here? Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
we went through. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say years ago we went to another round. Had a live show and we went to their live show. It was cute. It was fun. And at the end, they bring out everybody. It was like a fucking clown car. Okay,
yeah.
People kept coming. They had somebody to bring water. They had somebody to write notes. They had somebody doing everything.
Yeah,
I'm like, you hear?
That was for me. That was like, that's what I knew. I'm like, I'm doing enough.
Right.
I'm doing enough.
Will y'all in y'all show and y'all be like, this is brought to you by a black girl named Naima, a black girl named Janisha. It's like, exactly, because when you listen to like, say The Daily or, you know, Jonathan the K-Par or something, it's like they finish their show and then they have to thank like 20 people because they got so many. It's like, this motherfucker do the emails. This motherfucker right here did the sound. This motherfucker right here get the guest. I'm just like, that's when I had to relax on myself because I'm also like, you know, doing a lot of the groundwork and I'll just be like, man, I fucked this up. I missed this meet. Oh, why didn't I get this person on the show and all this shit? And then I'm like, oh yeah, I'm one person. You know what I mean? That's a lot of shit to do. Yeah. I don't have a team. I can't just be like, get me everybody from the Avengers on the podcast and just go off and live my life. That's not how that works.
And sometimes I'll be wanting to say, when you want to roll through the credits, you'll be like, yes, CEO, you know, CFO.
right.
Executive
everything.
Producer.
Right, I gotta do it all. I gotta do the taxes for this shit. Like, I gotta do all this shit.
Tax support.
Like, you know, no shade to Jonathan K. Farmer, but he ain't doing the taxes for his shit, bro. Come on. You know what I'm saying? And then the other thing the other thing too is like, I had to get over it because my ego would kick in whenever I would listen to a podcaster that had like on a network or something. They'd be like, it's just so much work to do this shit. And I'd be like,
nigga,
you know,
to let that go too. That used to frustrate me. Podcast trying to figure out. Yeah, I don't know.
Remember that time we had a whole conference, Jay, and, these persons from this show, I'm not going to say, but they were like, they were assigned to like a big,
huge
media space, and,
they were up there. The little podcast that could. I'm like, we here. We at the same Black Girl Conference. If you you had a little podcast that could, what am I? Do I don't exist? Like what? What is happening?
I think we're in the tier of little podcast that can't. You know what I mean? little podcast that could never, okay? Right. Because we are, we're gonna fly in Barack Obama for our next guest, and I'm just like, yeah, I can't fuck with that. Y'all got
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I'm like, who are y'all comparing yourself to? Like, what? Like, I know who you're comparing yourself to, but why are you involving me in this? Like, why are you telling me this?
We read an article on the show yesterday that was like white podcast beef.
They making money.
I read that article.
Oh, you read it? Oh, yo.
I read it.
Them white.
So let's tell Queen about it. Queen.
Okay.
Yeah, I know I didn't read.
So it's a podcast network called Barstool. I think it's spawned off of Barstool Sports. It's like a it's like a bro-ish, college type of like white person podcast network. You know what I mean? Very dude bro shit. And they have these two women who have a show they co-host called Call Her Daddy. And so
here, just real quick, right? Mm-hmm. So Rod is obsessed with podcasting. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with podcasting. We listen to everything. Mm-hmm. Neither one of us have ever heard of these people.
Never.
I listen not to, even a little bit.
I listen to hundreds of podcasts. Yeah. All jokes aside, like my poor little thing is like, I don't know what the max is, but I'm probably going to reach it soon. And I'm like, I've never heard of y'all.
It's that white.
Right.
That
is that white, and like they're white podcasts that I'm sure we've all heard of. We know they exist. We just haven't tapped in yet, but we just know because we know.
Yeah.
Never heard of these people.
Never heard of these people. So they're having a labor dispute where the two women have stopped doing the show. And so people was like, what the fuck happened to the show? And so the owner of Barstool went and did an episode of the podcast that the women normally host, but he hosted it by himself and just to explain what's happening to the listeners. And he was like, one, we're losing $100,000 per episode they don't do. They haven't done an episode since April. So, and they only do one a week. So they getting money. And then the second thing was they were paying them $500,000 each a year to do the show. And then they get bonuses too, right? But the women were getting offers for like TV, books, stuff like this. So they wanted to leave. But the deal that they signed was a 3-year deal. And they signed over the like rights to the name and stuff. They were just shopping the name anyway. Like, fuck it. We take it, Call Her Daddy over to, you know, Wondery or whatever. And so they would, he came in was like, no, you can't do that. You have a contract, but I am willing to negotiate with y'all. And so the demands that they had were, they wanted $1 million each. They wanted half of all merchandising, advertising, any sales, and they wanted the rights to the name and everything back. And he was like, well, I can't do all of that right away. That's like, that's insane. And y'all did sign a deal, but what I'm willing to do, I cut 6 months off of the deal. I'll raise your salaries to $1 million each. And, you know, we'll then you get the rights to your name back at the end of the contract. And they said, hell no. We striking. And one of the girls was like, well, actually, I low key do want to do it. And the other one was like, no, she's dating like a guy who works for, who runs HBO. And so that guy, they think that guy is basically saying to her, like, no. I'm gonna get my lawyers on the case. We gonna fucking make them drop you. And so I was just reading all of this. And the amounts of money was so fucking foreign to me.
Cause they were saying they was getting like, underpaid.
Yeah, and I can't, and the thing is, I'm not against these women. I really do. I do wonder if they getting underpaid.
Cause
someone was like, well, cause they are white women, right? And they're like, well, they look like Barbie dolls, so that's why they make that money. I was like, I feel you, but my question is this. Are the men on that podcast network making more than them? Mm-hmm. Because if so, right. I guarantee them niggas don't look like Barbie dolls. Them niggas don't look like Ken. If they making more money than them, I get their point, which is I want to make the money I'm supposed to make.
Right.
But even with all that, the numbers were so
the numbers, the crazy. Amount of money, the amount of access, the amount of options. Okay. Our deals be like, y'all can come use the studio.
Right.
But
Yeah. As long as you pay, only as long as you pay on time. If you pay on time, you can use our studio.
They were good. Man. Yeah, I just thought that that was so interesting. Just the disparity between, like, again, some women I've never heard of ever. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, I don't know. But what you said yesterday about white people want to listen to other white people.
Yeah. You know? Like, I don't even necessarily blame the companies, because I feel like white people in general on an individual level are fucked up. So even when the companies invest in black people, they gotta invest in a certain kind of black person, number one, which is why you have niggas at the top that be like, well, you know, I feel like all lives matter if you really think about it. I'm like, this motherfucker, but they're catering to a certain audience that is who they're advertising to and shit. Like, it's all, like, the whole game is fucking rigged, man. It's just trash. We need, like,
it is. It sounds like, first of all, where the fuck all that money come from? Like, y'all the mob. That's just what it is. Like,
advertising. Like the thing is,
they backed by the mob. Like, it just don't make no sense for a podcaster to stay really new. How does advertising trust that much that
they're white?
Because see, the thing I kept thinking is this:
that's all like Suge Knight deals and stuff.
If
like,
they're my thing is always this: if they're giving you $1 million. What the fuck are they making off you?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they was, like, they got mad about their money and he said, okay, cool, I'll double it and cut 6 months off. Nigga, you must be caking.
Yep.
You know? Oh my God.
Yep. Yep.
Whew. But you know.
Ah, boy.
You gotta keep the jealousy and envy off of your doorstep, cause I can't live like that for me personally, but my nigga, I read them, my eyes were like popping out of my, like Steve Harvey eyes, the whole article, just like every number I got to, like, damn, they losing $100,000 an episode, how's that possible? Oh, they make $500,000 a year, how's that fucking possible? Oh, they want $1 million? Oh, they said no? Like, the whole article, just good for them though.
Yeah, because like you said, you have to keep those things in check, because you go, well, never heard of you, and as somebody who, like you said, listen to a lot of podcasts, I go, never heard of you, don't know where you come from. Like you say, you are willing to invest in somebody white who you don't even know what it's gonna sound like, and somebody who has actually been doing it for years, established, showing that they are consistent, have a fan base, can't even get a lot of the larger advertisement people to come their way.
Right.
You fill out all the paperwork, you do, you show me your numbers, and they like, and it's like crickets. It's like, the fuck is this?
Yeah, you
gotta know. We have, white people have to be comfortable, and they're only comfortable with each other, and that's just what it is. So it doesn't matter how qualified you are if you're a non-white person. We need to keep these white people comfortable, especially now, because they're all unsafe and they have to wear a mask, right?
Right.
So, like, that's the priority, is making white people always feel comfortable.
Cause like
don't shit up.
So many scandals for like black creatives that do have mainstream success, that when, you know, that time they get that wake up call, it's always when they just say some regular real shit that in my circle wouldn't even be like that mind blowing. It just be like some regular, you know, like, you know, Don Lemon said something bad about Donald Trump, and I'm like, that's a Tuesday in my crib. That's not, but that's the kind of thing that's really brave, quote unquote, for him to say, because there are white people watching, like, I don't know if we can have Don Lemon saying stuff like that. I mean, we gotta keep it neutral. Now we sound biased and shit like that. Like, shit, the game is so fucking rigged, man, but.
Yep.
It is.
Alright. Let's get into these other segments, guys, okay? We've been covering coronavirus news, alright? Mm-hmm. We try to spice it up a little bit. We try to play a song to start the coronavirus, and we play a different song every time.
We don't know what it is.
We're building quite the catalog, okay? Not all these songs are good. Mm-hmm. Let me just get that out the way. And I just find the songs by putting coronavirus in the search for Spotify, and then we listen to the song. Today's song is gonna be Coronavirus parentheses Judgment Day.
Oh wow.
By
that got Christian real fast.
By Wakanzi. It looks like bacon with a W, but Z Y on the end, so Wakanzi. Let's see what kind of vibes there could be.
Oh.
Hold on a mercy. Show me some blessing. Hallelujah.
Judgment Day, you go soon come. judgment there.
Wow, black people like this. All over the world.
I told you I was gonna get Christian.
Nothing you get, oh. I say nothing you get for this whole wide world. Nothing you own, no. I say nothing you own for this whole wide world. If you like make you buy, yo. Oh. If you like make you buy with your own cash, oh. Nothing you own, no. I say nothing you own for this whole wide world. Everything is temporary. If you like, keep you the mansion. Everything is temporary. If you like, you rule the nation. Everything is temporary. If you like, you get the money. Only love is permanent. Only love is permanent.
I don't know if that's supposed to be Afrobeat or Jamaican or reggaeton.
It seems Afrobeatish. I like it.
I was starting to hate it at first. I'm not gonna front, but then
yeah, I was like, let me see where this goes.
You know what? Not bad.
Yeah,
you know?
I think, the other one, that's my favorite. Which one? This one, the other ones is my favorite one so far. Which ones have you liked so far, baby?
Me? Yes. I Mark Eyes was good. That's the one that I think sampled Cardi B.
Yes.
Who else? Not the one from yesterday.
the one that was like,
G-Mac Cash had a good one, but it was offbeat. But here, I liked this because it was funny.
Yeah, the one that was telling everybody to stay 6 feet. They was coughing at the beginning.
Corona, yeah, 6 feet. That was good too. So, I mean, there's a lot of good ones out there. I'm surprised actually by the quality of the coronavirus songs here. Oh, I look like we lost Jay in the chat.
Yeah, I'm texting her now.
Okay.
She's coming back.
There we go.
There she goes.
It bumped me off or something. Okay.
All right. But yeah, did you get to hear the song or any of it?
Yeah, no, I heard it. I heard it. I told you it was going to be Christian.
Yeah, it was, I mean, that Judgment Day was a dead giveaway, you know, this, you know.
Came out with the Hallelujah quick fast.
Yeah, like real quick. That's why I was like, let me wait and see where this goes.
Speaking of Christian, in our coronavirus news, I know a lot of people are talking about church and stuff. Well, there's, you know, some churches are going to open up and all this stuff. Well, not all the churches are going to open up.
Mm-mm.
And I have one of the churches that's not going to open up.
Listen, there are
right
churches
here.
Going back to worship Chicago, I'm told, around the nation. Fellowship will not be one of those. You can save your call. You don't have to call up to the church or wonder what us doing, what we going to do. We're not coming back to church until the Lord, the righteous judge, wakes me up out of my sleep and says it's time to come back to the building. See, the church is still open. The building is closed. So while we're in this season, the church is still open. We're still worshiping. We're still doing ministry every week. And I thank God for it. But we will not return unto this building until the Lord himself wakes me up out of my sleep, slaps me 3 times, pours water from heaven on my face, and warms my feet with the fire of the
warms
Holy Ghost.
My feet.
And I have no choice but to jump out of my bed and say, yes, God. Until that moment happens, you don't have to call us. You don't have to email me. You don't have to DM me. We ain't coming back up in here until it is absolutely safe. We'll be back in here when the NBA opens. We'll be back in here when all the governor's mansions open for tours again.
Amen.
We'll be back in here when the White House opens again for visitation.
Wow.
Until then, until all of their stuff, and you know who there is.
Amen.
Until their stuff opens up, none of our stuff will be opening up.
Let's stop it all over there with you.
Amen.
Woo. He is speaking my language, okay?
Yes. Dude, I almost looked up his church. I'm like, do I need to get on this? Like,
come on.
Is this my pastor? What's their position on homosexuality?
Right.
Are we good?
Y'all got a Patreon?
Let's go.
You know what I'm saying?
Right?
How do I tie it to y'all? Because my goodness. that's what I'm talking about.
That's the other thing. It's good to see somebody like having good sense again,
right?
Because there are people who get all the information from church or from whatever social medium that they're in contact with, And so if he was open, there are people who would show up. I'm sure there are people emailing, texting, hey, is the church open? Are we opening church? Because that's, you know, people who go to church frequently want to be there. You know what I'm saying? So of course they're checking in, but like there are churches that stayed open for way too long and are responsible for killing people. Mm-hmm. And I blame them.
Right. So he told them up front when he said, you know, don't be DMing and calling me, which means you're not going to get a response, you know, because people mm-hmm. still going to do it. And yep. his mm-hmm. thing is like, no, don't worry about it. The doors of this church will be locked until further notice.
I loved it. Mm-hmm. I love how calm he said it and reassuring. He's like, until yep. God wakes me, slaps me himself three times out of my sleep.
The thing that was weird for me though, because when I saw the video of this, mm-hmm. was there was a person behind him, not 6 feet away. So
yeah. Yeah. I hope it was a camera perspective, or they in the house together already or something.
They live together, yeah.
He probably filmed that from the house.
Cause I gave him the benefit of the doubt specifically cause of how he was talking. I was like, that's not a man who plays.
Yeah. Mm-mm, no, okay. I trust him completely.
Yeah.
It was like, why did he, that guy didn't need to stand there.
Yeah. He's like,
this doesn't make sense.
Y'all would not be coming up in here, okay? He could have only made that better if he had a mask on. That's the only way that could have happened.
Or y'all know what? Or he may have filmed it like right when everything was shutting down. He was like, I'm letting y'all know, go home until further notice.
He a real one, man. Yeah. If I see one more greedy ass pastor talking about, they still holding the church, I'm like, my nigga, open up a motherfucking Venmo account and let these people go home and breathe. What is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Up in church can't even praise. Like, how can they even praise? That's just germs. Hallelujah. That's, you know what I mean? Germs is in the hallelujah.
Come out. That's a lot of syllables.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, and we read articles about how when it first started, because of misinformation, people were going to like choir practice and stuff, and it just broke out in the midst of a flock. So, if you care about your people, you tell them to go home too.
Well, people are trying to open up the economy. As you guys know,
don't care nothing about your economy.
Well, on the first day back at work at the Ford plant, employee test positive for COVID-19.
Of course,
because wonderful. They had to come to work.
It's almost like we're in the midst of a global pandemic.
You would
almost,
think
almost.
And you know what's interesting? The reason why they only know is because they went to work, because our testing is so like not just readily available in that way. If that person didn't go to work and it was testing you as you came into the Ford plant or factory, that person probably wouldn't even know.
Yep.
Because we're not even caring about just testing people just because we're only testing them so they could come into work.
Right. Mm-hmm. One Ford employee spoke to WGN, but asked us to protect their identity because they are worried for their job and their health. They said there's an outbreak going on and said Ford is hiding it.
Wow.
I believe that. I believe mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, because these companies, the incentive for them is just to get your ass back to work, and then the CEOs and all the people that run shit, they not in that plant with you.
No, what's exactly. the point when your employees are dead? Like, I don't understand that the alternative is dead, which means nobody's doing the job, right? So mm-hmm. I don't understand the point of doing it when you're not going to have anybody to actually physically do the work.
Right. So they sent a statement to WGN that said, we notified people known to have been in close contact with the infected individual while maintaining confidentiality and asked them to self-quarantine for 14 days. We're also cleaning and disinfecting the work area, equipment, team area, and the path that the team member took. Yeah, there's this other part too, and Jay brought this up, and I meant to write it down and say something at the time, but the study that said people were staying in, they were social distancing, but they were still going to the hospital with COVID and with coronavirus. And I was thinking, like, because it's also like a moral issue, and we've kind of made it where if you get it, we're looking at you like, what the fuck you do to get it? There's probably people lying and shit too, where they're just like, I don't, like, I got it in my house, none of my business.
Like that person who gets bit by the zombie and they be like acting like,
yes, yes.
And then now you turn and now we with you and shit.
Right. there's a moral.
They do that. Okay.
Yeah. I think the shame of it is also making people scared to admit they did some risky shit. I remember, what's my, that dude that, God, I ain't heard of that. Slim Thug, the rapper. He was like, yeah, I've been doing all the social distancing and somehow I came down with coronavirus. I don't know what I did. And then, you know, they, I interviewed him on a couple shows and he was like, well, I did keep my hair cut by my barber. You know, I went to, and I was like, my nigga, what, like, start with that. Start with, like, don't be like, could it have been when I went to Wendy's and they did the 6 feet apart thing? Like, it wasn't Wendy's. It, you know what it was.
But like this, if I get it, y'all know it's completely by accident because I'm so paranoid.
Yeah, it's just, I don't, some of these niggas, it's just like, I went to a house party. What, y'all think that was it? Like, yes, that was it. You let the COVID person make the mimosas at Mama's Day. You knew that.
Did y'all see on Twitter? They were dragging this girl on Twitter because she was like, can y'all believe my sister-in-law came over here knowing that she had symptoms? Like, but why did you trust her not to? You opened your home during a global pandemic and had a Mother's Day gathering. Anybody can get a carrier.
Exactly. That's the purpose of the mask. The mask is so that we protect each other from each other, like protect each other from it because we don't know who have it because we're not testing motherfuckers.
Right.
And it's a really contagious thing. You can have it and not even show symptoms.
Right.
That's why they say everyone wear a mask because we don't know which one of you motherfuckers got it. So everybody wear a mask.
And like, I know I got like empathy overload and all that shit. I know I'm one of those people and shit. So I always feel bad that the person is getting dragged. But then like, also, what the fuck did you expect? Have you not seen what is happening online? Like, you can't just tell people that we're not your friends or your family. Like, not, like, besides the moral implications and the stupidity of it, the extra stupidity of telling us, like, what, why did you do, you jumped into a lake of piranhas. What the fuck? I, like, oh, I don't get it.
Oh yeah, I don't get it either. She also got a pedicure and put a picture of that.
Why? Just keep it to yourself. Like, do the stupid
really
shit.
Don't get it. Yeah, people really don't understand it. They really don't get it. There's a disconnect. People really think social distancing is putting on a mask and hanging out with the same people you always hang out with, and that's it.
Do the stupid
shit. I think it's more than just that. I think people are just so used to presenting stuff to social media, like. You know, so like, even if they are faulty social distancing, they have to say something, they have to post something that we're so used to doing that, and this is the time where like, everything is still, so like, what do I say? What do I talk
if
about?
If I do something stupid like that, I'm not telling y'all.
I'm not saying a word.
Like, number one, I'm not gonna do that. But two, if I did, I'm not telling you niggas, like, what the fuck? Like, don't, like, there's no fucking, the roof does not live on motherfucking social media. It's ruthless, okay? You go out there and you start talking about, like, it could be something innocuous. It can even be something within the guidelines that you can do. Like, you can have a birthday party with less than 10 people. My nigga, if you take a picture of that and show people, you're gonna get roasted. So just don't. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, sorry. Yeah, so then, however, a memo sent to workers in March, they mentioned a different protocol saying, if someone that works at one of our plants tests positive for COVID-19, we will close the building in which that person works for 24 hours to be deep cleaned and disinfected consistent with the CDC guidelines. So I guess they've changed that to just, we're going to clean the area they walk through and tell the people they work directly with and have them self-quarantine for 14 days.
Yeah, because that's more convenient than actually do. Because if y'all actually do what you say, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And is it even like a paid quarantine? So like now, because one person is has got the virus and I've been around them, now I can't work for 2 weeks. Am I getting paid?
Do they provide masks? Are people, are they making people stationed 6 feet apart now? Stuff like that. Like some of these companies, man, they're just throwing people in the fucking grinder and being like, and then acting surprised. Oh, what? Oh, everybody got COVID? What happened? It's like, nigga, you know what happened. So yeah, the employee who spoke to WGN said while face masks are being used, many are not using face shields, and sometimes they cannot, because of their work, maintain social distancing. We're asking the mayor and we're asking the governor to help us. It's definitely profits over people. They're trying forge, doing whatever they can to protect their bonuses that come every March. Forget that profit sharing. I want to live. The governor's office said the administration is working with the industry to ensure the proper health protocols are in place, and the governor's urged employees who feel unsafe to report it to the attorney general's office. Yeah, and they get fired because you know they're going to retaliate.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, that's intense. I was thinking about somebody was saying, what's the point of them like, what happens if everybody gets sick? Like, they'll just get more people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll just hire new people, and then they'll get sick, and they'll hire new people.
I figured out the key to this shit, man. The key is, if you get sick, you gotta run up on, like, the CEO. You know what I'm saying? Cough on them. Like, it's the only way to mm-hmm. equalize the shit. It's gotta be as like, baseball had this plan where it's like, we're gonna go to Arizona, we're gonna put all the teams in one facility, everybody gonna play games at the same place, they can't see their families, they can't go outside, blah, blah, blah. I was like, you know what? That's a great plan. Cause you probably will reduce the risk. That's a great plan. Every owner gotta come. Every owner gotta be there too. Then I'm gonna say, you gonna see motherfuckers be like, well, actually, you know, maybe we should wait till we get a vaccine. Exactly, motherfucker, because you don't want to do that shit either. These niggas. In other news, it is a lot more dangerous on the roads now.
I'm a New Yorker. I don't know what's happening.
I'm about to say, ain't
no roads.
Yeah, I don't know. Ain't nobody out there. Like, now, when we order, like, Uber Eats, that should be, like, 30 minutes. That should be getting here, like, in 15 minutes. I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot. Ain't nobody on the road. So, everything is, like, super quick.
Well, the highways are emptier than because of coronavirus. But they've actually been more deadly. The National Safety Council said preliminary data showed that in March, when most Americans began to drive less because of the pandemic related stay at home orders, the fatality rate per mile driven went up to about 14%.
Goddamn.
So people are driving less, but the ones who are driving more recklessly.
Oh, speeding and faster. Swerving and shit.
Yeah, like, I get probably on their phones, probably.
Not paying attention because they figure out nobody's out there.
Right. Niggas is out here fucking Need for Speed or Fast and
Furious. They think they on an Autobahn? Like,
yeah, right. They like,
what? Like, what?
Yeah, they're like, I live my life a quarter mile at a time and just fucking hitting the road.
Gas is so cheap. A lot of them are like, shit, I ain't got nothing else to do.
Gas is cheap. Gas is really terrible. My brother rides a motorcycle and he's been out. I've seen him speeding. He records it. But
smart.
It's also a dangerous time because, you know, now is not the time to get into an accident. Stay home. Now is not the time.
That's the thing. Like, you know, if you get in an accident, they're going to take you to the coronavirus hospital, dog. I don't even want to, like, sprain an ankle right now. I'm not going in there. Although an 8% decrease in deaths from one March to the next March is great news, that decrease should have been even greater if the risk of our roads had stayed the same. We should have been closer to an 18% decrease in deaths with the lack of people on the road. But apparently people is just out there going wild. And people aren't even driving as long. Like, they're driving shorter distances, but crazier.
Wow. Okay. They're speeding around the corner and crashing into a tree. The hell is this?
Oh, my God. Oh.
What is with Americans? What is wrong with them? We figured out how to make everything just not work. That's what I'm thinking. I'm not a driver, but, like, is it really that much restraint? Are you really exercising that much restraint on a regular day when you're observing all of the fucking traffic guidelines and shit now people don't know how to act?
I just feel like I'm going to be pulling out of my apartment onto the main street and fucking Vin Diesel going to pull up next to me and rev his engine. Like, you gotta do this for my family. I'm like, bro, chill
down.
I wonder what it is. Is it like, do they know if it's cars versus motor? Like, because in New York City right now, the bikes are out because the roads are emptier. Dirt bikes, motorcycles, eventually it's gonna be a whole Rough Rider like thing. Like, it's just
That's a good point.
Do they specify if it's cars or like?
They don't say in the article. They do say the average speed has gone up. So maybe people are taking, either they're speeding in the cars they already had, or they're taking those motorcycles out.
Right, because now they feel more comfortable. Like you say, get down the road, you don't have to really fight the cars. So I can see people who normally probably wouldn't ride their bikes, riding their bikes and wrecking their bikes.
Some drivers have been caught going over 130 miles an hour.
God damn, where you going?
Where are they? You can only go to the grocery store. Like,
I gotta get the CVS, motherfucker. Oh my God.
130. I can't imagine. I don't even know.
Our roads aren't even good for that. Like, we don't repave our roads. You know how many potholes? You go on 130 miles and then you hit a...
I don't even know if my baby can go that fast.
Yeah, what kind of car was that?
Right?
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, I definitely ain't in that pay, that tax bracket.
That's definitely a sports car.
Yeah. My shit get to 130, it's just gonna fucking explode.
that's them two-seaters. That's right. Them cars that look like it's gonna transform.
You know how you had those alerts on the car when something like engine light, all that shit? It's gonna have a light on there like, nigga, what the fuck are you doing?
You know what I would like to see though? Speaking of Too Fast, Too Furious and the motorbikes on the hood, I hope that somebody is recording this. Like, somebody make a hood movie. Make a hood Too Fast, Too Furious while y'all are out there risking your lives.
Well, they did just have like 40 niggas get busted in Atlanta for drag racing and shit. And
I heard about that. Yeah.
I looked at, they didn't have the pictures in the article, but I read the names. It was niggas.
Yes. Them names.
Yeah, it was us. Okay. I low key wanted to see it too. I was like, damn, I wish they would have recorded.
I want to see it. Like, I love Too Fast, Too Furious, and nothing would make it better than if it was like a bunch of niggas in the Bronx on an empty road and their motorbikes. I would love that.
Pitch that to Netflix, somebody. Okay, they need the content.
It. Like, you already out there, just shoot it. You know,
Cameroonian pastor dies of COVID-19 after claiming he could cure the virus. This is what I keep telling people. Stop saying and telling people stupid shit, because everyone's gonna go find your old tweets. Like, all these people, they keep, like, you see, they're like, I'm sorry everybody, but we just need to go outside sometimes. You don't understand. I'm like, that just don't say that, because if you die to COVID, we gonna go back to like, remember in March when she was like, y'all keep wearing masks, but I spent too much on Fendi to be wearing a mask. Well, now look at you. We clowning you in death. Oh, you idiot.
Wow.
That's
terrible. That's terrible. I can't help but
I don't know why that's so funny to me.
I was just about to say, I can't help but feel some level of vindication. Like, this has nothing to do with me. I don't know this man. Has nothing to do with me, and yet I feel like, yup, see, told you. That's how I feel.
He went to the hospital with severe respiratory distress, and he died 10 minutes after the doctor began to treat him.
10 minutes.
Oh, so he probably had been wrestling with that shit for a while.
You know he didn't want to eat that crow. You know he should have went like 4 days ago, and he was just like, nah, I can't, cause it's just too, I'm gonna have to wait to the last minute. Because if motherfuckers find out it's me, so at my church, my question is this: how many people go to church next week? I feel like that shit should be empty. I feel like you can't have the same amount of attendance you had the week before, bro. If that dude said he could cure it and then he dies, no one goes back to church, bro. That was it. That's it for your church. It's a wrap. Whatever was happening in there is not God. That's not working.
That's a good take.
Yeah, no thanks. So yeah, he dead. his followers wanted to hold off on burying him so they could see if he would resurrect.
What?
Come on, black people.
They're gonna see the Rona germs rise.
Come on. Like, if he resurrected at this point, he gonna be a zombie. No thanks.
Right? Oh, gosh.
And he had been praying for and laying hands on his followers who were infected with COVID-19 to cure them. So that's probably how he got it.
Yes.
Because he said he could cure it. And then they was like, oh, you could cure it? Come help me. And he was like, all right, I got you. And then he got it. And it's like, oh, he can't
do it. So irresponsible. Right. I grew up in church, and I feel like I know niggas like this. I know people like this.
I just don't understand why people think they special. Like, why would they pick you? Like,
right.
If I was going to pick the person, why would they pick you, random black man in Cameroon? Like, why?
Like, religion?
I don't know. Like, it's just weird for people to just think that they're that special, that they will have the healing hands. Like, that's a special kind of narcissism. Like,
it is.
You know?
And the virus don't care.
The virus don't.
The virus don't know none of this shit, bro. Like, they act like the virus is like, oh no, that's God's house. No. Let's go down to the atheist house and kill them. Like, it don't give a fuck, bro.
No, the virus will touch you and Jesus.
All right, last one. Loud talking can leave coronavirus in the air for up to 14 minutes. So,
14 minutes.
Yeah, that's it.
Can I say that again?
Loud talking can leave the coronavirus in the air for up to 14 minutes.
I feel like that's anti-black.
Yeah. Like, first it was AMC, but now Magic Johnson Theaters is done. It's over for them. Like, it's no, I can't go to no more Tyler Perry movies with the Onis, man. That's the whole point.
I feel like, yeah, that's very anti-black. Mm. And I need to know who came up with this study.
Who is this? Who had the time?
It was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So that sounds pretty racist to me.
Yeah. They should be talking about, and this is something that Jay holds very near and dear to her heart, and she really despises.
Oh my God, tell them. The fucking
that should be
talkers.
Me, spit talkers, not loud talkers. Yeah. But spit talkers.
Mm-hmm. Nobody's talking about the spit talkers. Everybody's talking about if you cough, if you sneeze, if you block. We know niggas spit every day. Okay. Yeah. We know people just on a casual conversation spit everywhere. Nobody's talking about the spit talkers, the close talkers, all of them.
Yeah, they definitely on the list. Like, spit, I feel like spit talkers don't even need to be brought up because we definitely not fucking with them, right? Like, yeah. They were they ever on the list of okay to fuck with? I feel like just in common society, we should have been backing away from them niggas for a long time. Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, and it'll catch you off guard because all of a sudden you'd be like, is it raining? What? Like, initially, yep. You don't be understanding.
The worst is when they apologize and keep talking. No, nigga.
Keep spitting. Like, that's like, if you're a spit talker, don't you know you're a spit talker? Why are you also a close talker? Back up.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's that combination. They be spit talkers and close to you. Like,
and I need a minute, dog. You spat on me. I need a minute to get right. Like,
the process. That's,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't talk to a lot of people anyway. So if I'm talking to you, chances are I love you or like you a lot, so it's not that I'm gonna just like mush your face, but I need like at least 30 seconds to get back together, because internally I'm screaming.
Usually you don't have a napkin handy, right? So now you're wiping somebody else's spit from your face with your own hand. And now the spit has spread from your face to your hands. Where do you put it? Where does it go? And when you wipe it off your face, do you ever really wipe it off, or are you really just rubbing it in?
And then spit talkers generally, their breaths are not well. They have the things in the side. Right. Like, there's
many factors.
It's just a lot of mouth things happening. It's a lot.
Yeah, and I just need a minute to process it, dog. I'm not gonna be violent or anything, but just like, you did that. We need to acknowledge what happened.
You did that.
Before we could just fucking move on. You can't be like, oh, my bad, dog. No. Give me a second. Sorry. I need to breathe. You know what I mean? It's too much. But yeah, man. So apparently if motherfuckers are loud talking and stuff, speech also releases oral fluid droplets in the air. So researchers want to investigate how many were produced and how long they remained airborne. The research team asked people to repeat phrases and harness the power of so-called sensitive lasers to visualize how the droplets moved into a stable environment. They estimate that a single minute of loud speaking generates at least 1,000 virus containing droplets. Some patients produce a larger amount of a larger amount of the virus than average, however, which can push the number of virus contained to well over 100,000 per minute of speaking. The researchers write in the paper, their findings indicate that droplets stay airborne for longer than 8 minutes and sometimes as long as 14 minutes. One note of caution, the tightly controlled study did not examine or measure the types of temperature change or the air circulation that you would find in almost any real world environment. So yeah, that's one of the things I keep telling people about these studies and the stuff we're finding from hospitals. Some of these environments, they're not made to like show real life. So,
yeah, they're really controlled.
Right. Kind of like, so when they tell you, like, you could get COVID on your shoes, it's like, that is literally them taking nurses from a hospital who work in the COVID ward and looking at their shoes.
Their shoes,
right.
Yes.
Like, no, you can't just, like, fucking go to Kroger and you got COVID in your house now. That's not how it works. Not that you should be tracking your shoes over the couch anyway. Like, you should, like, that's just a regular hygiene thing, but some of this shit is gonna make you paranoid, you know? It's like, it's COVID all in their clothes. I'm like, they worked all day at the COVID place, bro. That's what happens.
At the COVID factory.
Right. that's their job, you know? All right. All right, let's get into another segment. We got regular ass news to talk about, okay? And I saved some of these articles to talk about with y'all.
Oh, goody.
So. Yes, Karen.
I need to take myself off screen?
No, this is regular articles. Okay. It's not like white people news or nothing. Like that, it's not no pictures that everybody needs to see.
Okay.
So Allison Roman is on leave from New York Times, and you know why?
I do.
Yeah, Allison Roman is the white lady, the white lady who talked about Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, that white lady.
Yeah, she apparently. Got put on leave from, she had a New York Times column, and she got put on leave from it because of the shit she was talking about Chrissy Teigen and Marie Kondo.
I know she was, she never said that shit.
Yeah. I actually low key love the way Chrissy Teigen is playing it, because she's doing that thing where she's like, oh wow, I can't believe they did that. Wow. I didn't ask her to be let go. Like,
nope. Tell the truth. I didn't ask.
I like that. I like that. She tweeted out, I hope, I'm sorry, it made me laugh. She may have meant this genuinely, but it made me laugh. Somebody said, has the beef been squashed to Chrissy Teigen? Chrissy Teigen was like, oh, you know, I just didn't expect it to be her. People hate on me all the time, but I just thought we was cool, but whatever. And then so somebody's like, so the beef is squashed. She was like, I hope we can laugh about it one day, but I'm not happy with the New York Times leave, so she can definitely laugh. She can't laugh about it yet. It just sucks in every way. I love it.
I love Marie Kondo's response.
Oh, what did she say? I missed that.
Nothing. She's just like... That don't bring her joy. She's not spending.
Right.
She's like,
not touching that.
Have y'all heard my brand? Okay. This does not serve me. She even has a new Netflix show in the works that's coming out. Like, Marie Kondo.
Oh, I can't wait. I love her shit.
She is over there minding her Asian business and getting paid. Okay.
That's what you do. This is justice.
I really do. Unfortunately, we don't get justice in the ways that we're supposed to get it. So when little things like this happen and white women play themselves off of just being white, she really was doing stuff that white women do every day, everywhere. Mm-hmm. All of us had a white woman like this at our job that we thought we was cool with, but they hate our fucking guts. And some of them know it and some of them don't know it. You know what I'm saying? So I just love that Allison was being a white woman talking and just being entitled to the world and fumbled the play. And it's a rapper. I love it.
When somebody in the comments was like, Marie is somewhere trying to pick up a big ass baby.
Yep. She ain't worried about this shit, man. She got other things to do. But yeah, I also love that, like, this is the kind of, like, comeuppance that, you know, like, cause I read her apology. It was a really thorough apology. The second one,
I didn't read the second one. Yeah. I read that, the lame first one, the cheesy first one.
The first one's always whack, yo. The first apology is always whack because we live in a world where everyone has our backs on social media. So you'd be like, I guess I'm sorry or whatever. It's like, nigga, that was the time to get ahead of it. Cause all that's gonna do is make everyone fucking with you. Keep fucking with you. Yeah. Like, you can't win that way with doubling down. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I read the second apology. It was good. It just didn't matter. It was it's too late in the game, you know? And who knows if that's real? It'll take months, years, weeks to know if you really meant that shit. So,
Did she talk about being a white woman in the second apology?
Yeah. Okay. And how she was hating on Asian women and didn't realize it. And she had people that, like, you know, pulled her to the side and was like, what the fuck are you doing? This shit racist, and how she contributed to it, blah, blah, blah. It was like,
that's good.
Good, thorough apology and all that shit. It just don't matter. Like, they never give that one right away. You know what I'm saying? My God. Anyway.
Yeah. So this is great. I love it. I hope she suffers a great deal.
Well, she gonna, the thing that I couldn't decide. So what do y'all think? What would be better if you're Chrissy Teigen? You cancel her show or you still executive produce her show, knowing how, you know what I'm saying, that you can fuck with her at any moment? Like, what would y'all prefer to do if it were you?
I would executive produce her show, and we would just get somebody else to do it.
So you would get rid of her though. So not really executive. Not, so you would fire her.
And not really fire her, but just be like, you know, at this time we just chose to go in another direction.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about you, Jay? Mm-hmm. What would you do?
I don't know. You know, so one of my personal delights as like an empath and like a generally nice, kind person, I delight in being kind to my enemies. So like, when people do shady, nasty shit, I really enjoy being myself, being kind and shit, because it makes them uncomfortable. But in this situation, I don't know, because a part of her still executive producing it with this same white woman would allow the expand that white woman's platform. You know what I'm saying? Which it's like they always bounce back. I don't know. This is a tough one.
Yeah,
this is a tough one.
Because like part of it too is I think the white woman's gonna be okay no matter what.
Right.
So, like, if I don't do it, then, you know, what's that other, Paula Deen will do it or some, like, some other problematic white person will step in and be like, I'll take the case. But I kind of would like to be the boss of my enemy in a way. You know what I mean? But I feel you though, cause that is how I'm built, but it's also like a weakness. You know, I've forgiven people that I'm like, why the fuck I do that? You know, later. So, what about you? What about you, Queen?
She could go.
Yeah.
I don't like people I don't like around me.
Yeah.
Like, that's just that. And then it's just like, it sounds like work to work with someone I don't like. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just extra work and energy that I don't really care for. I can be a bitch, but it's not like the default setting.
Right.
And I feel like then now I'm gonna have to be a bitch all the time. I don't like this person, you know, like, so I don't know, it sounds like work to me, and I'm kind of lazy, so
true that
I'll probably just fire them.
That is a good point.
She's gonna bounce back. Just don't, I don't want to see you bouncing back.
right I'm helping with the bounce. I feel you.
I don't
want to
see that.
Yeah, and it's also like a catch 22. It depends on if she bounced back, you're still going to make more money than she is. So that's still actually another way to rub it in her face. Just kind of leave it out there in limbo. And or, you know, I will wait a while. Possibility, like, if I don't get rid of her, I will wait a while and then be like, you know what, do you still want to do the show? You can come on back on. and go ahead and cash my much larger check.
And plus I am like tying my success to your success, so like I don't want to do that, you know what I mean? Now it looks like you got my cosign, and that's I can see it. I probably would have to drop her, or at least I would step off the show or something, because but the idea of fucking with her is so tempting to just, we decided to move the show to 4:30 in the morning. We just, feel like, we feel like you record better at 4:30 in the morning. So if you could just start getting in then, and, that's when we'll go.
Oh God. I think too, like my HR brain taps in, like, cause that could backfire on you. And now you asked out because you're doing all of these.
Yep.
Things to fuck with this person, and then now I'm the black person who did this. Like, I'm not even just a person who did this now. I'm the black woman.
Right.
So, like, I don't even want all of that. Nah.
Yeah. And I, who knows how Chrissy.
I might send my cousins.
And then the thing with Chrissy Teigen too is like, she may feel differently too, cause she's been on the other side of fucking up. So at this point she might be like,
Let me tell you something. If Chrissy Teigen flips and pulls that All Lives Matter bullshit in this situation, I will burn the internet. Okay.
Yeah.
We received a mild victory that I'm claiming in this. I'm gonna go ahead and be a POC right now and act like we're all in this shit together. It's a mild victory. Allison is not working her job right now. Let us enjoy this shit. Yo, do not flip and try to be this all women, you know, in it together, everything is pink, like I forgive her bullshit. No, it's okay. I honestly think when it comes to white folks, Allison owed us as a community that fucking apology. Right. I'm glad that she gave it, and now she deserves to sit out and receive whatever punishment comes along with this. She's white. She'll be fine. She'll bounce back. She doesn't need any of us, any woman of color, saying, okay, I forgive her. Da-da-da. She doesn't need that shit, yo. We don't need that shit. And I swear to God, Chrissy, burn the internet.
I think she's already forgiven her, though. I think she already did that part where she was lying. Yeah, I think she did that before even the New York Times thing. She still got,
I hope it's a mild forgive. You know, some people like to go on a fucking forgiveness tour. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure.
A simple, like, I accept her apology, whatever.
That's what she did.
She gave a,
it was just funny because it was a shady apology, acceptance, where it's like, I accept the apology. I was more surprised. I'm not surprised that, people don't like me. I was surprised it was her, but you know, people hate me, whatever. I don't give a fuck.
Right.
Something like that. I just wonder that Chrissy being on the other side of being dragged, I feel like it gives you empathy for people that get dragged. You know what I mean? Where you're like, like, this was your worst moment and everybody got to see it and they came for you and you're losing all your things. And I wonder how that affects Chrissy Teigen. And we'll find out whenever she tells us by selling it. Okay. Cause don't tell us for free, Chrissy. If I was you, I'd get paid. Okay. All right. Ludacris. You guys know Ludacris and Nelly had a battle this versus this week. And so Ludacris unveiled like a new song or an unreleased song or something during the battle. And it raised a few eyebrows because it had bars about R. Kelly and Bill Cosby. I haven't heard the song because I didn't watch the battle, but the lines. Okay, so what'd you think about the lines in the context of the song? Were they?
They didn't need to be there. It was just weird. Like, why is this here? Like the R. Kelly line, like, is the first line. So we were like, what the fuck, like. It didn't need to be there. It just, for me, it was just like, y'all niggas don't get it.
Yeah. The lines they're saying is, I love R. Kelly, but around my daughters, I'm not comfortable. Ludacris rapped about R. Kelly. He name dropped Bill Cosby. Christopher. He name dropped Cosby as well. The world screwing niggas. The world screwed if niggas pouring drinks like Bill Huxtable. Oh, so I guess those are the first two. Those must be the rhyme.
It's just as soon as the song starts, like first you're like, okay, what's this? And then that happened, and we were like, what the fuck is this harassment happening? I was just trying to watch y'all battle. But yeah, it was just weird. And for me, it just shows how out of touch men are, and also how out of touch, like, celebrities are. Like, how do you, like, why would you think that would be okay? Why would that be like, yo, this is gonna be fire?
What's weird is, so him and Big Tigger did like an Instagram live, and Big Tigger asked him about the lines and like, what does it mean? And he said, sometimes when you speak on records, you're speaking like it's just me and you having a conversation. I saw that a lot of people kind of misconstrued or just didn't understand what I was saying. Which, my dude, you're a rapper, that's your job. As the conversation continued, Luda then asked Tigger what he thought the lyrics meant, to which Tigger explained, you probably meant I love his music and what he brought to the table, but I'm a father of daughters and he's not gonna be around my daughters. And then Luda said, you're a smart man, it's that simple.
Okay, guys. Okay, all right. No, nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that, cause it sounds, honestly, if that's what it breaks down to, it sounds like what he's saying is that this would be fine, except I have daughters. Mm-hmm. So now it's not okay.
Only his daughters matter, right?
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, everything you did to everybody else's daughter is not my business, which is how men have been conducting themselves forever, right? So it just is real status quo. It's real tired. It reminds me of like, how, like, y'all talk about stories, and it's very clear that, like, the white majority sees things totally different then we see things. It's like they're living in this like other bubble, like the way that they share information and absorb information, like this, the fucking Ahmaud Arbery video, like they really thought that that was a good representation and it would put them in a good light after murdering him, or that video of, these white women recording these incidents where they're harassing service people, right, and they're recording them because they feel like they're being victimized. It, to me, it's these men, these black men in particular, because I only fucks with black people, these black men saying things as if the black women in their lives are the only black women who matter, as if we're not a whole community together. But then on the flip side of it, whenever something bad happens to a black man, we're all in it together. It's about everybody. It's about me. It's about you. It's the whole thing. It's just really upsetting and disheartening. And that they do this on a public platform because it's so okay. It's so accepted. It's so normalized. It's fucking exhausting. And I'm honestly, every nigga has a fucking, a mother, a sister, a daughter. I'm tired of hearing about that bitch. I'm tired of it. Okay. We all, everybody got a mama. I don't care that you are raised by women. I don't care. Like if we believe the stereotypes, most of us are raised by women. Ain't no daddies. So like your connection to another woman in your life shouldn't be the reason why you give a shit about women, especially black women. If y'all trying to pretend like we're all in this shit together, yo, it's so fucking exhausting.
It is.
It's so exhausting.
It's also like you have to think about just the music industry in general and how like, yes, rape culture is rampant for us as like, in quotations, regular individuals, but how heightened and rampant that is in those industries, because Nelly is also someone who has been accused of rape. They played fucking some song with Mystical in it, and I had to tweet like, I'm just a reminder.
Right.
Mystical's a rapist. You know, like it's just so like that there's no one is even like catching these things. So yes, we were mad at Nelly. I mean, not Nelly. At Ludacris for playing that lyric, but he's battling Nelly, who who is accused of raping someone, and who didn't, the girl I think recanted because the police released information or something like that.
Exactly.
So like it's that the industry, that industry in particular, is just so rampant that that stuff, I could see why Ludacris would just think it's regular. He's battling Nelly. You could just play Mystical. There's probably other artists that we don't even know about allegations for, because you pay people off and shit. It was just so regular. It's disgusting how regular and okay it is.
I would go one further. I think Ludacris probably thought he was being like pretty brave for a black man to be like, look at me, I'm calling it out. I'm saying they did do it. I'm saying I don't want R. Kelly, because to them that is revolutionary, because it's like I broke the bro code and didn't say free R. Kelly and Bill Cosby innocent. So look, you know, and then he put, and then he put it in a song like as like bars just to open it up, because I'm sure he wanted to have like a shocking bar or whatever. But yeah, it's still it's still a half measure at best to even say like, because I have daughters, and also I love R. Kelly, but I have daughters, so you know I love them too. Oh, you guys know how it is.
Them bitches.
It went for these daughters, y'all. I still would fuck with R. Kelly.
Oh
and
my gosh, I hate it here.
Oh man. All right. Let me, I'm actually going to pause for a second. Wait, my mouse is acting stupid real quick. Mouse, come work with me. All right. Yeah. Nope. Still not working. All right. Okay. All right. I'm going to pause. All right. We're back live. Oh boy. That is just a hassle with this, with the new computer sometimes. All right. Let's see. Is everybody back on screen? All right, cool. Everybody's back on screen. All right, let's get to more of this news, guys. So yeah, Ludacris, no need for those bars. Oh, also, he's like, the song has Lil Wayne on it, and he's like, I still want to release it. And I'm like, but didn't the feedback kind of
why can't he just, everybody got a studio in their house, why can't he just rewrite the fucking the lyrics?
Right.
Why are they like this? I'm so tired.
Our girls Brandy and Monica. Brandy says she heard Monica decline their versus battle. Says she doesn't want to be a part of that, but I understand. So they initially, both singers initially agreed to partake in a battle of hits, like we previously witnessed with all these other artists. But apparently, Monica doesn't want to do it. She says she's only here for positive vibes. I can handle a celebration, Monica said to V103's Frank Ski during the interview. Monica continued, the reality is I think Boy Is Mine is such a phenomenal record because we're both polar opposites, and I think that's dope. And she's one of the greatest artists of our time as well. So could we do a celebration of something of that sort? Brandy told Essence that she's totally down for a battle, though it hasn't crossed her mind much. I'm open to it, but I haven't really thought about it. I don't know. I'm open for sure. I'm not closed-minded, she said. However, Brandy spoke with Frank Ski this week, saying she heard Monica decline the versus battle. She doesn't want to do it. It's the last thing I heard, is she's pretty much turned it down. She doesn't want to be a part of that, but I understand. So it doesn't look like we're gonna get the Brandy Monica battle.
What's wrong with Monica? Okay, so she realizes that no one has like had fights. No one's talking about nobody's mother. Like, they're just like, here's my song. Like, what does she think is happening? It's not a gladiator fight. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't see what the problem is either. I don't even watch the verses like that. But when I have checked in, it's always been like a pretty cool vibe. I think there was
cool vibe. I think Monica, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I think Monica, she still got beef. Like, there's still something. Yeah. Because it's not, the battles are not actual battles. You still have a battle.
My thought was, why do they keep trying to make them work together? It's been clear over the years. Anybody who's been watching these two over the years knows they don't fuck with each other. And they don't have to. Why do we leave them alone? They don't want to be friends.
That is
so
true.
They don't want to be friends. They don't like each other. Half of us would not be friends with Brandy. Like, right. She's adorable. Maybe if I grew up with her, maybe we'd be friends. But like, would you meet Brandy today and be like, let's go be friends? Probably not. Mm-hmm. And so let's stop the charade. Let's stop trying to make this work. It's not going to work. True. Stop trying to make Fetch happen. It's not going to happen. And leave it be. I really just think she don't want to do nothing with her.
That's a great point.
She didn't want to play with her.
Great point.
And I wish they could be honest about it though. Like, why are they still like tiptoeing and like, just be like, no, I don't want to do nothing with her. Like, why can't women say that? Why can't a woman say, nah, I don't fuck with her like that?
It turns into a whole thing, yo.
Yeah.
Everything has to be super kind. Even with the Erica and Jill battle, like, a few things bothered me about that battle, but one of the things that bothered me is like all of the comments on, this is how women are supposed to act. This is how women are supposed to engage. This was like all this weight of like, yeah, women are supposed to like they were setting an example of how women are truly supposed to rise to the occasion or whatever. We watch mad battles. Some of them are catty. Some of them are shady. Some of them are cheeky. Some of them, like, whatever. Right. Let them be however. And I felt the whole time they were sitting there, they had to be like, if they made a joke, it was going to be taken by somebody watching, like,
it was weird. I didn't get the same things from it that everybody did. I was like, to me, I saw frenemies playing nice. Like, it didn't look like there was, you can tell when people like have like a chemistry.
Yeah, they don't have
was not happening in that Jill Scott Erica Badu battle. It was just like,
You know what? A part of it is like, it's people that I don't generally fuck with. Let's talk about men, because I don't fuck with them, right? So it's men that I'll see out who I don't fuck with me, but I consider myself sometimes a funny person. Sometimes people don't like it. People who like, I don't hate you, but it's a thing. I might like joke with you. We have a rapport. It's some kind of back and forth. And because I'm comfortable enough and I don't mind being called a bitch, I can do this kind of thing with you. So to me, I felt like even if they didn't really fuck with each other, if they weren't women, they would have been allowed the space
to be
a little bit shady, to have jokes back and forth, to like, you know, there's camaraderie amongst people who don't fuck with each other in the same industry sometimes. And it just felt like because they were women, they had to hold themselves like stiff and everything had to be celebratory and praiseworthy. It was just like, you know, I wish they could be their whole full selves.
I think also because like people write about the battles the day after and stuff, there's like all this weird like framing and branding and projection and shit happening after the battle. So like after them, there was a lot of like, and that's how black women do it because no one can do it better. And it's like, okay, but you also did put all the pressure of black womanhood on two women. They couldn't even be individuals, because if we're being real, there were other battles where like the RZA had a battle where he was extremely complimentary and they were going back and forth like, oh, Premier, I love this beat from you.
Yeah.
And Premier, like, so it wasn't
T-Pain
like...
T-Pain and what you call it was like that too.
That was fun.
But I feel like so many people get paid now to make that article where you get the click of like, retweet, like...
Right.
I agree with this headline, it's like, well, that's you know, so now you got to tell a story. And then once you get, once again, the bad part of it is the pressure on the back end of like, well, now everything they did has to represent well, and it becomes a weird type of reverse respectability, like that, oh, they did what they said, what, oh, let's see, that's not good for black women, or they did such and such, let's see, all black women should do that, because if not, you're fucking up. Like, it's anyway,
it was really tired. But even the comments in the moment, it was niggas in the comments talking about this is what how ladies are supposed to be, like this is how and this is, I'm like, oh my god, yo, can they just like be themselves? Can we just enjoy whatever the fuck is happening?
Niggas are so whack for that, because niggas love to say like they like the queen archetype, but like the Instagram models had the most followers, dog. It's clearly you like all the shit, you know what I mean? Like, but they always try to make that battle.
I also think that's why they were the first women to battle, because of this obsession with the queen archetype. It's like, if we're gonna pick women, let's pick women who are people, who we respect as people. And the only women we can say we respect as people are these queen archetypes, and the only ones that we can think of are these two. So I think that's why they were the first women.
Yeah, of course. That's definitely why they were the first two. For me, I did watch it. I did enjoy it. I was under the influence when I watched it, but I just couldn't understand. Jill Scott smiled for 3 hours. Like,
she has a gorgeous smile. She just lit up the top half of the screen
for 3 hours straight. That's why I was like, I don't think she like her.
I can't be reasonable.
That could be just doing too much.
No.
Well, everybody projects on those battles, though. I feel like it's, you know, like those battles are like insecure. Like, we're all, like, everybody watching kind of just puts into it what they feel. You're like, this nigga T-Pain probably don't even brush his teeth or whatever. It's like, there's no reason for us to feel that way, but some of us are going to feel that way.
Yeah, and I know me, I would probably smile for 3 hours. Because
I'm on the other internet and I'm like, resting bitch face. And you're always, for me, that's just so foreign. Like, why are you still smiling?
But I could see me doing something like that and just literally just smiling for 3 whole hours, having the time of my life. Just going, I am just having a ball.
I play basketball with people that do that, where their default face is a smile.
Yeah, mine is.
And I hate those niggas. They are so fucking frustrating. like they fuck up or something, you know what I mean? Where it's like they shoot a bad shot and I'm like, dude, what the fuck, man, pass the ball, and they're like, okay. I'm like, no, nigga. Be mad. I'm mad. But I can't be unbiased when it comes to Jill Scott.
That's so,
so
funny.
I pretty much will watch anything Jill Scott does, so it's not really. Anyway.
She's gorgeous, gorgeous.
Yeah, I can't.
Do y'all remember when her nudes hit Twitter and she said they're not hers, so maybe they're not hers.
Said they're not hers. Oh, I'm gonna tell you why that night was dope though, okay? Cause this happens on Twitter like once every 3 months, where all the woke people have to come clean because they're not really like, they go back to the old
school.
I love it, you know, like, because I know them niggas gonna wake up in the morning and be fake again. Like, it recently happened where Earl Thomas, when him and his brother was having sex with all those women, and his wife came with a gun and was like, nigga, get the fuck out of here, and chased them and stuff. And before everyone had time to get their PR statements together, everybody had to be like, oh my god, this crazy girl, get him, and blah, blah, and, you know. Now, of course, you know, the next morning everybody woke up.
The next morning is always something different.
Yeah, it was domestic violence. It's never funny. I'm like, I feel y'all, but it was funny last night. Don't lie to me. I was there. And the Jill Scott thing was exactly that, because it wasn't like niggas, like dudes was on there being like, we exposing this bitch. It wasn't that. It was women, men, everybody being like, we finally saw them titties, y'all. Oh my god, Jill Scott. Jill Scott is goals.
That was me. Dude. I hit up everybody I knew. I was like, yo, but did you see the Jill Scott
pic? Everybody.
Yeah, I felt seen. I was like, those are titties that look like mine. Right. You don't see those kind of titties.
Yo, this is a baddie. This is a baddie right here.
Oh yeah.
I was like, that's the one thing. Like, I'm a bit prescient, so I was able to be like, I'm not gonna go up too hard for these pics because I know in the morning the reckoning will come. And of course in the morning everybody's like, if you was on here last night sharing this woman's leaked nudes.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes. What? Like, she said they're not hers, right? They're not hers. But whoever
you are, madam, I'm also a fan. Yes. Like, what's your Instagram? I would like to follow you as well.
Yes. Can I? Okay.
Like, there was no shade. But yes. Yeah. Usher says Nicki Minaj is a product of Lil' Kim and Nicki fans are outraged.
Okay, guys.
Okay.
Right, yeah. No resemblance. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Totally unrelated to one another.
Yeah.
All right. Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If you say so.
That's like if like Kobe got offended, you said his game was like Jordan.
Thank you. It's like, please.
So we just gonna disrespect chronology? We just gonna time is not a thing no more.
I don't get it, but I think that plays into the whole woman thing. Like, we can't. Women have to be pitted against each other. So even though that's not what Usher was doing at all, in their mind that's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what happened because you place two women in the same sentence, because this has happened to me before on Twitter, where I placed two women in a sentence and it was like, you shouldn't be doing this to women. And compare, no, I don't like that woman and I like this woman. Like, it has nothing to do with like their relationship.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck? But because it's two women in a sentence, then you pitted them against each other.
Yeah, and also I think the internet, we live in the age of hives, and people underestimate hives.
Yeah.
You know, because before hives, you could just say, I like this person. You could just move on. But in the age of hives, people are like, no, you will not say a bad thing about X or Y or Z. And even if that person is stating facts, they don't care about facts because it's about the hive circling around and protecting whatever the queen person. Because
that's
the hive
what happened.
Is.
It was the stans of Nicki that got mad at Usher. I'm assuming regular people were fine because it's not like he didn't say it to be mean. He didn't say it shady. Didn't even say it disrespectful. It's just something that's true.
Right.
And of course, all these people, and I think it's really bad with Nicki because Nicki does egg it on.
Like, she does.
So she
loves it.
Yeah. Cause like the thing like I love about Beyonce is that, she has really mastered this whole like, I'm gonna just be above it thing. Like, in a way that I could never do. Even if I was the richest nigga in the world, I would still be on Twitter being like, what y'all not gonna do is fuck my name up. And she, like, she just really was ahead of everybody with that shit too. Like, she didn't need to fuck up to realize it. She stopped, like, she
stopped
recorded all her own,
years
she stopped,
ago.
Record all her own shit. She don't do interviews. She only put shit out when she feel like it. If you fuck with her, you gotta sign an NDA. Like, she was just ahead of this shit. In a way nobody else was, but it makes me think about that because I remember like when someone leaned over to get Jay-Z's drink order, like the hive was on that person's ass. And I think it's because a hive is like a shared dislike community. It's not really a shared praise community of like, we're just pushing this one person up. It's like, we're really just pushing everyone else away and down that even is mentioned around this person. Cause this is, you don't need to like diss Lil' Kim to like Nicki.
Yeah, the other thing with the internet, and I try not to be ageist, but the other thing with the internet is that you could be on there arguing with a 12-year-old. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know how old these people are. Mm-hmm. You don't know. A lot of these hives are made up of children, and we're on there debating the shit like we're talking to other, like, adult people with fully formed frontal lobes and shit, and we're not. Like, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, when you're a kid, you do all kind of shit. I'm thankful that I didn't have internet all like that when I was a kid.
I consistently say that because I tell people, these old ass folks in your 30s and 40s and 50s picking on these kids, your ass would have been out there too, Snapchatting, Facebooking, recording, all types of shit. Your titties would have been out there because we were doing shit we had no business doing.
And well, yeah. Not just that.
We got the Polaroids. We got the Polaroids. We got the old tapes.
Right. Yeah. And not just that. Like we wouldn't even like I would obviously question a 40-year-old I saw in the middle of the street arguing with a 14-year-old. Like I would stop in the street and be like, 40-year-old, what is your problem, 40-year-old? But on Twitter is the one place where I could be like, nigga Minaj is just okay. You need to calm down. It's like now and I'm yelling.
It's ridiculous. People will form, like people with alleged good sense form a whole think piece, write a whole like several page think piece off of something that a 13-year-old said. That doesn't make any sense. Mm-mm. It doesn't, why are we acknowledging like everybody's thought, not everybody's thought is worth like a response, is mm-hmm. worth like credence.
It's
like,
just a thought. It's just a thought.
Right. It's just a thought.
The one that's killing me now, and I just couldn't believe it. And I'm not even a hater of this woman, so let me just put that clear, because I know a lot of niggas hate her. But I didn't understand how like grown people are doing the like Kamala Harris Hive thing on Twitter, because it's like it's a political candidate. It's not like a pop star. That's a, like, it's not, like, I don't understand that. Like, and I'm not, this
I
is not.
Know she had a hive.
Yeah, oh, it's real. It's for real. It's absolutely for real. It's not like I was on, you know, they do the new thing on your Twitter app that says, like, live, people are live. And at the top, it was like, the K-Hive is live. I was like, the fuck? And I clicked on it, and it was like a Zoom with, like, six grown-ass adult people talking about Kamala Harris shit. And I was like, y'all don't feel, it's not ironic that y'all did that. That's like a real thing that you feel with your whole chest. Like, not, this is not to knock them and say they shouldn't support whatever. I don't actually care what candidate they support, but that's not weird to you to do that. Like, that's a thing that started for Beyonce and Rihanna, and now you're doing it with a political candidate. That's
but like weird. Where were they though, like in the primaries? Like where were they before? I think this sound almost like they might have served a purpose if they served a purpose. Like what?
I feel like her hive grew the second that she lost. Like as soon as she left, because I think especially on social media, there was like a lot of shaming attached to people that fucked with her. So like, and ain't nobody want to hear. If you could be reasonable as fuck, it ain't nobody want to hear that shit. So like, even if you was like, but if you think about the time, people was like, fuck the time, fuck her. But then when she lost, and then people started, the same people who were like, fuck her, were like, wow. Now we have a race with no black women. That's when them niggas was like Voltron. It was like, combine back up into the hive. We representing. And I was like, yeah, it's pantsuit mafia again. It's all that, that thing for Hillary Clinton. They was in private Facebook groups loving Hillary Clinton. Then she lost. And then then they was like, we loved Hillary. We were in these private groups. And it's like, nigga, you should have been talking to the other 53% of white people that needed to be talked to, like, or white women that needed to be talked to instead of being in a private group. So I think that's what happened. Anyway.
I don't get it.
I don't get it at all either.
Last one. And then we'll get into Guess the Race.
All right. Okay.
Did y'all know? Do you know who Norma McCorvey is?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. So that is the actual name of the anonymous plaintiff in the Roe versus Wade case.
Okay.
That's her real name. Cause she went by Jane Roe in the court case to keep her anonymous. Well,
okay.
In 1995, she came out against abortion. In the original case, she was, you know, obviously for choice. And then in 1995, for some reason that stunned the world, she just came out and was like, actually, now that I think about it, I'm with the conservatives. Well, it turns out in like somewhat of a deathbed confession, she said she was paid to do that.
Okay. By her husband? I'm just guessing. I don't know. White men are evil.
They are evil. But no, by conservative pro-life groups.
I'm sorry. I picture in a deathbed and like, there's something I gotta say.
She died like that dude in season 3 of Chappelle that's like, I'm dead.
Aww. Her husband was Mr. Burns. What is happening here?
Yeah, I'm like, what? Oh my God.
All right, so she was paid off. Yeah. Okay, white person.
Yeah. All right. You know, people have brought up the extenuating circumstances. I believe she was queer woman who was also like broke at the time and struggling, and the money came along and she was like, fuck it, I'll take the money. So people have brought that up, but yeah, obviously as a white person as well, you know, it's not that surprising that you'd be tempted, you know.
Yeah, it cost them nothing. It it doesn't matter. Like, it didn't, you know, I don't know. It just feels like the stakes for them are so low that it doesn't matter which way they go or which way they swing, they're going to be all right, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Fuck them.
Yeah.
And I wonder if, because of the case, and her being queer, like, if that led to her being in this state where she couldn't take care of herself. Right. So now it's like, I need this money too. You know what I mean? Cause like, you are, regardless if you're anonymous, we know how this government works. We know they ain't shit. So how was she even able to make a life for herself knowing that she is a person that is a part of why we have abortion in this country.
Like, and I wonder about the original case too. Cause like, if it was for hire type shit, like, could it have also been people on the left that I do agree with, who are pro-choice, that were like, yo, we got these funds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, who, maybe she was a mercenary, you know what I'm saying? Like, well, who paying? Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Who paying?
But there's a documentary coming out on FX, I believe, on Friday. It's called AKA Jane Roe. So I guess they're gonna like cover it then, because that's where she talks about this. It's described as a deathbed confession. A visibly ailing McCorvey restates her support for reproductive rights in colorful terms. If a young woman wants to have an abortion, there's no skin off of my ass. That's why they call it choice. But she's
so white.
Yeah, right. I mean, who gives a fuck? I always feel a little embarrassed, because I remember when I first was when gay marriage first came up, as it was called at the time, now marriage equality, but I remember my whole support of it was like, why would I even give a fuck? That's them, like, who cares? Like, and now at the time, that was like the woke, quote unquote, woke perspective.
Yeah, that was progressive.
Like, people, that was the R. Kelly line.
Everybody was like, man, Rod, that's brave. I was just like, no, it's not brave. I literally just don't care about other people that aren't me in that type of way. It's just like, everyone should be able to fuck and do whatever they want. And then as long as it's not like children or whatever, do what the fuck you want. And then, obviously the more I read and shit, I was like, oh, actually, no, I do care. And this is a problem, and you should be able to get married because it's the right thing. It's, no one should be able to, you know, that kind of thing. That's what she sounds like. She just got to her deathbed and was like, yeah, fuck it. Get an abortion. Anyway, so I'll probably watch that documentary, though. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah,
that
sounds interesting.
Yeah. All right, let's get into, and plus, low-key, FX does great work, man.
Mm-hmm. They do. They really do.
Like Atlanta, I'm low key scared because I don't want to watch the Lil Dicky show because it's probably good.
Oh, I don't know what's the Lil Dicky.
Right, I'm about to ask
the rapper. Y'all don't know who Lil Dicky is? The rapper?
No.
So he did a song a long time ago. You might know him from this song with Chris Brown where they switch bodies, and he's Chris Brown's body, and Chris Brown is him, and they rap about what it's like being the other one. And he also was in that song about butts with Trinidad James, and he raps about having a little dick but liking women with big butts. Yeah, he's like a rapper, but like funny, like a comedy rapper or whatever.
Okay, now
he has like a highly acclaimed show on FX that just got renewed. Just, and like, you know, I put him in this category in my mind of like, you know, circus act, white boy playing with rap, like, who gives a fuck?
But he's white.
Right. Yeah, he's white. So I know if I fucking watch that show, though, I'm going to be like, this shit good. So I don't want to watch it. All right. Oh, let's play some Guess the Race, guys, okay?
Let's do it.
Where's my song? Here we go. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
Boop, boop.
Boop, boop.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, T, tea with Queen and Jay, and of course Karen, and the chat room plays along, and everyone playing is racist. All right, let's get into the first round, guys. All right, a man who recorded himself running a red light on Snapchat before a St. Cloud crash that killed two, arrested on vehicular homicide charges.
Well, damn.
Well, you know, you don't want the police to have a hard time, you know, with the case. You know, you just make it easy
gotta,
for them.
Gotta record it. Yeah.
a 20-year-old St. Cloud man who police said recorded a Snapchat video of himself driving through a red light moments before crashing into another vehicle turned himself in on Thursday. The St. Cloud Police Department obtained a warrant for Hunter Black's arrest, accusing him of two counts of vehicular homicide and driving with a suspended license after the October 26th crash killed Alice Gonzalez, 41, and her 15-year-old son, Alejandro Conde. Gonzalez and Conde were on their way home from making deliveries for Uber Eats that night. They were pronounced dead at the scene while Black was taken to the hospital with a concussion, a broken rib, and they let him go and other injuries. And he didn't have to turn himself in at the time, I guess. He's being held in jail now without bond. He voluntarily turned himself in yesterday and has cooperated every step of the way. As far as details, but how do you make it that long? Interesting. According to court records, Black uploaded a 24-second video to Snapchat. What'd you say? I'm sorry.
That tells me the race right there. Thank you.
I hear you. I hear you. 24-second. It's all about the context clues. So Snapchat moments before colliding with Gonzalez's Jeep, which police said appeared in the video just as Black sped past a red light at Noel Street and Michigan Avenue, but doing 70 miles an hour. Black told police in an interview he tried to avoid Gonzalez, but had faulty brakes, claiming his Ford E350 he drove, which he had bought from a used car dealer, was defective. Yeah, the video was shown to police by Black's friend, who said he arrived at the scene after seeing the video and tracking Black's phone. Oh wow, he was on the case. Other videos obtained through a warrant for his Apple iCloud revealed Black on more than a dozen occasions recording himself driving at high speeds as fast as 105 miles per hour and running stop signs and red lights in the St. Cloud area. One video was captioned "Never going to stop," and another video was captioned "Who cares?" He appeared before a judge 5 times for traffic offenses, 3 of those for speeding. His license was suspended at the time of the fatal crash. Following an interview with police after the fatal crash, Black refused to allow officers to take a mouth swab without a lawyer present and was arrested for resisting arrest without violence. That charge was later dismissed. Guess the race of Hunter Black.
White. Yeah, this is white. The only thing that has me thinking that he might be Black was your surprise that he got this far and all this stuff. Cause you know the person's race. So that's the only thing that has me like, maybe this is a light skinned Black person. Like, I don't know. But, yeah, Hunter Black, I think, is white. But I do think at the age of 20, I do think that a Black person could do this, but he just wouldn't have gotten so far. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think there are, you know, Black kids in general are silly enough to have done something like this, but not for this long, not this repetitive, and not to get this far.
Yeah, so it's white. When that crash happened, he had a suspended license. You know how many people I know who got arrested right away for suspended license and ain't hit nothing? It sounds really white. His captions on his Snapchat sound white. Who cares? White.
He sound like that woman on her deathbed. No skin off my ass. Karen, what's your guess?
Oh, these are his confessions, white.
Okay. All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe. I know I'm not going to be able to scroll and get all these, but white as fuck, Ricky Bobby White, white man hunting death, Grand Theft Cracker, had the opportunity to turn himself in after killing two Mexican people, Snap Crash White. His last name is Black, but he not white. Hunter Ford E-truck, no mask, white boy of color living down to gated community Black. His name is Black, but he is white. Probably Rose from the Golden Girls sons. Rose had a son. They dropped the resisting arrest charge. White, so white, the F-350 is a honky mobile. The correct answer is, and I think everyone for the most part went white. You got it correct.
You said suspended license and no arrest. I'm like, that's white, because
yeah, it was pretty white. And I think one person did say black, which and then to show y'all the picture, I have to take Karen off the screen for a second. So okay. Karen, give me 1 second. And I'll show everyone what Hunter Black looks like.
Okay.
And it's exactly what you think he looks like. So.
Okay.
Tiger King.
He's Yeah. His parents would have, if he was younger, his parents would record him being like, Donald Trump's gonna save us.
Only thing he misses is frat bros, what you call those jackets you get as a senior, be on the football squad, the leather jacket.
Yeah.
Oh, the Letterman jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Let's go to another one. How about this one? Wait, why is this so long? What? They wrote 13 minutes worth of shit about this? Give me a second. I'm gonna.
Oh, 13 minutes.
Yeah, like the thing, Pocket, the app that I use, it'll tell you like how long the article
is.
Okay.
That's so funny.
It was just reading it wrong. It's not 13 minutes. I was about to say. Three former employees have been arrested in armed robberies of 8 Waffle House stores.
Oh, shit.
Three former employees are accused of robbing 8 Georgia Waffle House restaurants in March.
What did they take? Money?
I don't hash browns.
Those meals are $8.
Right. It was like, give up the money, everybody gonna get scattered, chopped. The robberies happened over the course of 23 days at the Waffle House locations in Conyers, Kennesaw, Lithia Springs, Noonan, Macon, Forsyth, and Palmetto, according to Atlanta Journal Constitution. The suspects have been identified as Johnny Leon Anthony, his brother Darian Jermaine Anthony, and because they're a gender inclusive gang, Maya Lachey Thompson. The suspects were arrested March 27th after an armed robbery at a Waffle House in Bibb County.
Wait, y'all were frozen.
Oh, we're frozen.
What's the other person? No, I see you now. What's the third person?
Maya Lachey Thompson.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's 20. The other two are older than her.
You said this happened in March, so they were not social distancing.
They were probably no. Unless they were like, back away from the money, back away. Okay, 6 feet.
They're probably talking loud, spreading the virus everywhere.
Right. Maybe they probably wore the mask, you know.
Which caused them to have to talk loud, trying to talk through the mask.
The suspects were arrested after they robbed a Waffle House in Bibb County. Deputies say the group entered a Waffle House at Bowman Road in Macon at 3:20 a.m. Two of them brandished handguns. Yeah, isn't this like every Waffle House customer, though? 3:20 a.m., you stumble in.
Yep.
The suspects demanded that one employee get on the floor and then took the cash from the cash register from the office. And then from the office. Oh, yeah, they definitely worked there. Yes.
Because they knew where it was.
Yeah, because I don't even know that. Like, if you just eat that, you like, give me what's in the register.
I go to the office. Yeah, yep. You're right.
Give me them $16. And they're like, no, the money is in the office. Then they fled through a rear door of the restaurant. No one was injured. Investigators spoke to the Waffle House corporate office and learned that the Anthonys and Thompson may have also been involved in at least 7 other armed robberies of Waffle Houses across the state. The Bibb County Sheriff's Office called in the FBI for assistance in enhancing security footage of the robbery in Bibb County, which helped to identify the suspects. All three worked at Waffle House in Clayton County. Didn't even go far. The Anthonys and Thompson have each been charged with armed robbery. They are being held in Bibb County Law Enforcement Center without bond. IHOP would never guess the race.
I gotta say, they got pretty far. 7 whole robberies?
See, This is the movie we need. Not Queen is
right? Slim. I'm intrigued.
Yes! Not Queen is Slim. This is what we need.
Love House.
They were working on the inside. This is clearly like well planned. Somebody slipped up because they could have got away with this for a long time.
Oh wow.
What's up, yo? I'm riding for these niggas. These are black people. I'm riding for them. Mm-hmm. Nobody got, that's the other thing. Nobody got hurt. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Instead of Queen,
seven times?
Instead of Queen and Slim, we could get Smothered and Covered. I would watch
yes.
it.
I'd watch it.
I would watch,
I'd watch it. Somebody said in the chat, they're secretly proud of them. I'm outwardly proud of them.
Well, I mean, guess the race. It sounds like y'all have already decided. Karen,
yeah, you're black, highly intelligent black people.
That's family, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of black going on. See the chat room. Tyler Perry presents, watch me fuck up my life, black, black niggas. Secretly proud of them, black. Oh, these my cousins, black negroids, super predators, powerful, clever black people. This smells like scrambled eggs and pork chop and some nigga shit. Black Georgia ass niggas stealing money and food before everything was locked down. That is, yeah, they should have known when the robbery stopped that the things needed to get locked down. These some syrupy niggas, crime monkeys, and Onyx. All right, the correct answer is, and all you racists are correct, they were black.
Yeah.
Hey y'all, do y'all think that they had their uniforms in the car, they would just rob a Waffle House 20 miles away then just turn around and go to work?
Oh.
Nah, this is well thought out, well planned. I think it was more detailed than that.
First of all, uniform, it's a vest. it's a vest. We've been to Waffle House.
I mean, okay. What they consider a uniform.
This wasn't like Ocean's, what if it was some Ocean's 11 shit though? Like, they really planned it.
That's how it's to have gotten so far. Like, I mean, I assume Waffle House gets robbed pretty frequently. That's what I assume. Mm. But like, yeah, no, I believe this was well thought out, well planned. They got far. Well, that's a lot of robberies.
I, for one, can't wait till next year when,
a lot of safe robberies.
Yes. Yeah. Nobody got hurt. Come on now.
I can't wait till next year when Maya is definitely going to be on an episode of For My Man. Cause.
Oh yeah, she is.
That's my jam. And, I will watch it.
Yeah, I can't wait for them to cover the background story of all the Waffle Houses.
Did it show up in the chat yet? Y'all see
it
them?
It did. Okay.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah,
I see
yeah,
it.
We see them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my thing also is, I've been watching For My Man a lot lately because just my favorite. If you guys don't know, TV One. It's like Black Snapped or whatever, kind of.
And that's what it is.
Yeah.
But, the thing is, I was like,
a little too close to home, but
it really, listen, okay? But I was like, yo, in my brain when I was watching, I was like, yo, they should do like a For My Woman with all the dudes that's gonna kill people to protect their woman. And I was like, that shit would be 5 episodes. It's no fucking way. And then someone hit me up, was like, they did do it and it was 7 episodes. Damn. I was like, we are trash. Wow. We gotta do better. Okay.
Step your game up, men.
I mean, I know crime is bad and everything, but really, we're not even gonna try to be fair. Like, kill a couple people. Anyway. All right. Let's go to, the bonus round. What's my bonus round music? Here we go.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, everyone is 2 for 2.
Woohoo!
But will they be able to keep the black girl magic up in the third round? Let's find out.
I hope so.
Well, if not, you guys let all of black women down. Just let you guys know. I don't make the rules. That's just the way it is after every versus. All right.
Especially since all of us are light skinned.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't see any brown people on this show today.
Nope.
There's no brown skin erasure is real. It's my only cause. I'm going to get t-shirts made up. Okay. all right. A Florida woman is charged with setting fire to a home over a missing towel.
You know what? I bet you somebody fucked around and took the good decorating towel with the letters on it. And she was like, bitch, I bet you won't do this again.
A Florida woman set fire to a converted woodshed that another woman was living in following an argument over a missing towel. Robin Hamilton, 57, was arrested shortly after Saturday's fire behind a Hawthorne trailer home. A woman told Alachua County deputies that she was renting the shed from Hamilton and living there with her two dogs. The woman said Hamilton had been drunk and threatened to burn her out because of a missing towel that had sentimental value to Hamilton. About 20 minutes after the fight, the tenant said she smelled something burning, and then she saw smoke. The woman said she got out of the bed, the shed, but her puppy fled under the furniture and died in the fire.
No.
Yeah.
That's one of my fears.
Yeah.
Pets, because, yeah.
Think that puppy was sitting at the table like, this is fine?
Oh no!
I'm sorry, guys. I had to.
Oh no!
Oh man!
What the hell wrong with you?
I don't know. That joke just was stuck in here, and it had to go somewhere. So then the Hamilton told detectives she didn't know how the fire started. A neighbor, I'm gonna burn you out. Fire starts 20 minutes later. I don't know what, I don't know how that shit happened. That's crazy. What a coincidence. A neighbor's surveillance showed Hamilton crouching next to the shed several times before the building caught on fire. Hamilton faces charges of attempted murder, arson, and animal cruelty. She was being held on $80,000 bond. Jail records didn't list an attorney. Guess the race of Robin Hamilton.
I'm going white.
I'm going with white.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with white too.
All right, everyone's going white, so this means if you guys are correct, black women get free. The race is on the line, the gender and the race.
That simple.
All right, if not, we go back to what it was,
back to bondage.
back to normal. All right, let's go to the chat room. Backdraft white. This bitch probably burned down. Cheryl, she shed too white.
Oh no.
Not the shoes did.
Yo, I have an entire conspiracy about that commercial.
Oh,
Billy Porter did that. That's an arson, okay? He was sick of Cheryl and he don't want to be there no more. Okay,
he got tired of her.
The match is coming from inside the house. Cheryl, be careful. Let's see, white devil, she white, meth white, bitch, you took the good towel that I stole from the Holiday Inn, Florida cracker. This bitch is white, so you burned down your property and the sentimental towel too. White woman that gentrified Cheryl, she said white, she has no washcloths, just towels white.
Oh no.
Oh
my god. Oh,
savage. Oh, good. Good. She was gonna use the towel for her legs, y'all calm down. Little fires everywhere white. That hand knitted towel came from my grandpappy white, and the correct answer is, everyone said the same thing, white. And you're right. Oh, volume. And I'll show you guys Cheryl. Okay, let's take a look.
Yep. See, that's what I was expecting.
There it is.
Oh
there
no!
Why does eventually their mouth always be like that?
I don't know.
Yeah, because they do lose teeth.
Yeah,
like, I guess so. That makes sense because eventually their jaw, it becomes a frown. Like, how does, like, what the fuck? But yeah, it's probably a teeth thing.
Yeah, and 57 is too. That's too early to lose all the teeth, man.
Wow.
Like, teeth is like you know, in those shows like House Hunters and shit, where it's like this house has good bones. That's what teeth are for your mouth. You know, like it's holding you up.
Yeah, it's holding your face up.
Oh, yeah. All right, last thing. It's time to talk about sword ratchetness. Can you get my invite to be on screen?
Yep, I'm coming.
Okay, cool. A killer armed with a samurai sword at a pizza shop said it was, oh wait, we already did this guy. Hold on, let me go back.
A killer armed at a pizza shop with a samurai sword.
He was looking for the Ninja Turtles. All right, let's see. There's so many. There's just so many. A masked man wielding a large sword robs a Southside convenience store. San Antonio. Police are searching for a masked man who robbed a convenience store with a large sword. Yo, if you robbing people during, oh well, I guess Texas ain't locked down.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I think Texas locked down for 24 hours and then was like, fuck it.
The incident happened around 4 a.m. Friday at the Quick Trip convenience store. Police said the man wearing a blue surgical mask, well, at least he was respecting some, okay, criminal, okay. You might be reckless with a sword, but at least you were not reckless with your coronavirus. He was holding a large sword. He threatened the clerk's life and he demanded money. The clerk handed over all the money in the register and then the suspect fled. And that's the end of it. He got away. So hopefully they'll catch this fool because we don't need people out here with swords robbing people.
No, we do not.
Are there no rules? Anyone can have any kind of sword?
That's what I'm saying. That's my whole point of this segment.
If this was regulated.
Y'all talking about gun control.
Right.
About sword control.
We haven't even got the swords under control. How are we going to work up to the guns? Of course we don't have gun control. Like, that's, the swords are much easier. Track those shits. Like, I can't believe this. You just go fucking buy a sword out of a fucking thrift store. That's okay? That's okay?
That is wild.
All right.
Oh, gosh.
Thank y'all for coming on with us.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. This was so much fun.
Yes. Tell everybody how to reach y'all.
We are Tea with Queen and Jay. We're on all, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, we are there. You can check out our website, teawithqueenandjay.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram at teawithqj. We're on Facebook and Tumblr, Tea with Queen and Jay. And that's tea like drinking tea. With Queen and Jay. I said everything?
Yep, you did. Okay. You said the social media? I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. You can find me personally if you want at Janicia F, JANICIAF on Twitter and Instagram.
And I am at The Queen Speaks with the underscore on Twitter and the gram as well.
And I'll make sure to put that in the show notes as well for their Twitter handles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the F stand for, Janicia?
Oh, God.
Sometimes savings. Okay. And sometimes it's go fuck yourself.
Okay. That doesn't even make sense.
When I was a kid, I don't know what commercial it was. I don't know if it was just local, but they would be like, leave
off. From the same borough, we would have seen the same commercials.
Just leave off the last S for savings.
I remember that, but that had nothing to do with your F.
It's for savings.
Nothing to do with the letter F.
It's for savings. It's for savings.
Is the F like the F in four? For four savings, because I don't.
No.
Okay, so it's the, okay. All right.
It is actually four savings.
I was trying to help. I was trying. That's my fault. That's on me.
For savings.
There you go. The F is for savings, everybody.
Oh, it was a mattress. June.
Yeah, I remember it was a mattress commercial.
June, okay. Yeah, but June is from, June, aren't you from,
Harlem?
Also?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Harlem.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah, I remember that commercial.
We saw the same commercial. Yes.
Yeah, so Harlem person would say it like that. Okay, all right. We get it. Come on.
You put it in all caps.
June is like, don't forget.
Oh gosh. I know June. Schomburg. I remember you. I remember we met June at the Schomburg in New York.
Glasses.
Yes.
No, I know you, June.
Me too.
Yeah.
So do y'all normally have this many people in the chat or are these Ronin numbers?
Well, we normally, like, yeah, it's somewhere around here, but I think it's been up since the Rona hit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But also it's up because of y'all. Like,
yeah, y'all bought a lot of people over.
People wanted to hang out.
This is cute. Okay. I appreciate y'all. This was dope. I had a good time, yo.
Us too. So yeah, and for us, tomorrow is the sports show, Ballsy Sports. I'm sure we'll be talking about the end of, the Last Dance. I'm sure we'll be talking about that. And then Friday we're gonna try to do the Nerd Off. Mm-hmm. So we'll do that. And then Saturday is the feedback show. So full days worth of work. And then Friday night I'm supposed to do a live table read of Brandon Collins from Medium Popcorn. He wrote a script or something when he was in college. And he's having people do a table read and do all the parts. And he sent me the script. And as he would say, it is cuckoo bananas because. So it's going to probably turn into a roast of Brandon and reading the script. So, all right, y'all. Thank you for listening. Appreciate y'all for coming on.
Yes.
Y'all have a great
podcast.
Thanks
for having us.
Fun.
Yeah, I listen every week. I love it.
And once the Ronan stuff stopped, we eventually may be able to see everybody in person again and for the first time.
Yeah, because I really
hate the trip to New York got canceled because I was like, we can't see nobody.
When Rod said it was canceled, I just remember laughing like, oh, they're crazy. They're being real extreme. And here we are.
That's what I was like, damn, they need to calm down.
Yeah. They crazy.
No, I remember like, for maybe 2 or 3 weeks after that, y'all was on the show like, yeah, we supposed to do a live show in Virginia. I was like, that's not happening. I was like, that's...
And we're such worker bees. I was like, well, we probably shouldn't go, but if they invite us, I'm going to go.
Right.
Like, they're still doing it. We're going to go. But yeah, I just wasn't... Yeah. Like, it's the whole...
There wasn't clarity, though, on how...
Right, there wasn't clarity, but I think now that we've all gone through this, I think that we know that government and other places are not going to shut shit down unless, like, white people are dying or, like, something severe is happening. So it just changes your whole mindset. Like, I think everything is different now.
That's the problem with that nigga being president is that he... No matter what, that office still sets the tone for America.
It sucks.
It shouldn't be that way. I get it, you know, power to the people and everything, but as long as it's one motherfucker that people look to, that motherfucker controls the room, and he was out here being like, it's not a big deal. So, you know, even smart people was like, I guess it's not a big deal. I don't know. It seemed like it would be a big deal.
Right,
but
they're going, he has access to more information than I do. So if he's saying it ain't a big deal.
Right. That's why everybody be mad at Obama all the time. Cause they really be wanting him to show up like the good parent and shit and be like, guys, for real, the coronavirus gonna kill y'all. So I just wanted to send out that tweet cause this nigga's crazy. Like, all right, y'all. Now for real.
Yeah.
We're going to get out of here. But thank you. This is so much fun.
Yes,
really enjoyed it.
We did.
And we'll be back, like I said, Saturday for feedback. Until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.